away, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Yeah. And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Way to kick off the week, Gary. Little cork soaking.
Absolutely.
And we're basking in the glory.
Boy, I'm glad Andy's not here.
We're just reveling in this big Patriots win. I'm never more happy to be wrong.
What was that impression you were just trying to do there? Impersonation?
Kind of those guys.
Basking in the glory.
Instead of basking.
How about them Cowboys?
So big week here for the Patriots. 6-0. We're all excited. And we're here for another 2 hours of PFW in progress until 2 o'clock in the bowels of Gillette Stadium. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Fred, Paul, Tom's here. Is Andy coming down? We don't know. And Gary is back in the booth. No more intern. He was summarily fired after last week's display. No, I'm only kidding. So, guys, what do you think? Is this team as good as we think they are, or is just, again, the opponent's not as good as they should be?
Well, first of all, I'm not basking in anything. Speak for yourself.
Are the Patriots as good as we think they are? Of course they are.
Yeah, I think this is what I think, and I've said this all along. I don't think that at the end of the year the Cowboys are going to be nearly as good as they are now, because I think the wheels are going to come off, and I think it started after that game. You hear Patrick Creighton talking about the Super Bowl, the Patriots aren't that good, blah, blah, blah. You know what they are? They're the Bengals of the NFC. They're a bunch of individuals who don't play like a team. But right now, they're still pretty good. So that's a good victory for the Patriots. But I do think the Cowboys are going to be heading in the wrong direction because they have no coaching and no leadership.
I have to agree. I mean, they're just saying all the wrong things. And, you know,
I think a good signing for them, you know, this, and obviously they don't have a coach. That's the main problem. They just have a yes man for Jerry Jones. But, like, a guy like Willie McGinnis, even though he can't play anymore, bring him down to Dallas. Let him teach the young, you know, let him walk around that locker room like he used to do here. You know, I was telling my father, I said, when you see a young guy here talking, you always see a veteran kind of start walking up and give him, like, a look. You know what I mean? Like, okay, that's about enough. You don't have those kinds of things in Dallas and Cincinnati. They're just a bunch of individuals. And I'll put Romo in that class, too. I saw him at the end of the game with his hat on backwards with a stupid little smirk on his face. Hey, you know what? You just lost a big game. Show me that at least you care a little bit.
I agree. And, you know, it starts with the coach.
But you know what?
You have to set the tone. Then you have to bring in guys that will help you enforce that tone. And then everything else falls in place, and they've done none of that.
And that guy's a bigger idiot than even I thought. I mean, to kick a field goal when you're down 14 with 10 minutes to go. No one, I mean, this isn't a 10-3 game. You haven't stopped the Patriots all freaking day. And he thought he was going to kick a field goal, get the ball back, get a touchdown and a two-point conversion, and then another field goal to tie the game. Win.
Right.
Awful. But the Patriots looked very good. The game basically went like we all thought. You know, the Cowboys gave him a run. The defense was worn down. You know, when the Patriots got the ball back after that field goal, you saw the Cowboys with their hands on their hips. They just wore them out offensively. You know, I thought the Cowboys gave them a good run for a while, but in the end, it was just too much Patriots offense.
Yeah, what I liked was the fact that for the first time this year, we actually saw the other team fight back a little bit and, you know, challenge the Patriots, and it didn't really matter. That, I mean, you asked Fred off the top, and I know you were asking kind of rhetorically, but, you know, are the Patriots as good as we thought? Yeah. I mean, you're on the road. You could say what you want about how good you think Dallas is, okay? It's a very significant home field advantage because let me tell you something. That's big boy football country.
Yep.
Those people are certifiable. I mean, we've seen the Patriots fans travel very well all over the league, all over the country. And when they have wins like that, they've taken over stadiums. They didn't do any taking over that stadium. No. Let me tell you something. That was a fierce crowd. That
was a
into
smattering
the
of Patriots.
Oh
fans,
yeah, no, there were a lot of Patriots fans, but you didn't hear them
because
the Cowboys fans drowned them out. And it was a, you know, just a very, very impressive, methodical dismantling of a pretty good team.
Yep.
Now I agree with Tom. I think the defense was overmatched. Dallas's defense, I'm saying, but my God. How many big plays can one offense make in a year? And they've done it in six games.
Yep. If there's anything bad to be taken out of the game, Sammy Morris is hurt and doesn't look like it's
looks like a significant injury.
And Ben Watson turned his ankle. I don't know the severity of that, but
the Morris injury is kind of significant because say Maroney comes back and he gets nicked up again. Now you're down to Kevin Falk. That allows teams to play a three-man front and just basically play eight coverage. Now, the Patriots have a ton of weapons, but that might actually be a blessing in disguise for some teams. Like the Colts, they don't blitz, the Colts. So if you only have Kevin Falk, they're just going to say, hand the ball off to Kevin Falk. We don't care. We'll try to hold you to field goals. We'll play coverage. So I do think the Morris thing is a little significant if Maroney can't come in and play a lot.
Well, I'm told Maroney is going to be ready.
Well, I'm sure he's going to be ready, but
right.
What if
will he
gets
stay
nicked
there?
Up?
Right.
That's the point.
So this is Maroney's time. I mean, this is why they drafted him.
You're right. This is his time.
If he can't step up now and take over that running game, then I got to start siding with you guys as far as being concerned with him. Right now, I'm saying he's going to do that, but you know, he really does need to.
I'm going
to
say this, too, and I don't want this to sound disrespectful in any way. I really don't think it matters. I don't think it matters who's running the ball. I don't think – because I look at the Patriots, and I agree with Tom's assessment that, you know, teams can now –
Well,
know,
I'm only talking about one team.
No, and you're right. I mean, teams can completely ignore – but I don't think that really opposing defenses have given very much thought in their game plan preparations to stopping the Patriots' running game because – I just don't think it matters. I think it, you know, I thought Dallas ran the ball pretty well on Sunday when they did, and I think the Patriots said, yeah, so who cares? We're not trying to stop you from running the ball. If you want to run it, go ahead and do it. We got to try to do other things, and they were able to do enough other things, you know, that Dallas couldn't match the Patriots score for score. I think teams look at it and say, if you want to hand the ball to Sammy Morris 22 times for 105 yards, go right ahead. You know, that's better than Tom Brady hitting Randy Moss for big play touchdowns and Dante Stallworth and Wes Welker and Ben Watson and all the other weapons that they have. So I don't really think it matters if it's Maroney running the ball or if it's, you know, Morris or Kevin Falk or Heath Evans or, you know, even Kyle Echol now, the touchdown machine.
Well, it's interesting. We'll get to the emails.
But I'm only talking about one team, though, Fred. I just wanted to
what Paul was just saying, how – you know, teams don't have to worry about the run. This is the Cowboys. This is an email that says Casale was right. The Cowboys are falling apart. This is from, let's see, who was it from? It doesn't say. Anyway, he says a guy named Tim Collishaw.
He
did an article on how Phillips planned to stop New England. Did you see this?
Yes, yeah, I don't think it's accurate, to be honest.
Really?
With you.
He says the scariest thing about Monday was Dallas's Cowboys coach Wade Phillips' defiant "I do it the same way" attitude. Phillips acknowledged at his Monday news conference that the Cowboys' approach was to stop Sammy Morris and make Tom Brady beat them.
Yeah, I don't remember him. He didn't say that in his news conference after the game. So if he said it, then he's a bigger idiot than I thought.
Yeah, and I'm not denying that he said it. I'm just denying that it's a fact because it would certainly run counter what he told Tom after the game.
And it looked like they were just using their front seven to stop
them. They did nothing to stop the run. They're a little bit better at stopping the run than they are the pass.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they had a bunch of guys in coverage. I thought what their plan was, and I don't think it was a bad one given their personnel, their plan was to get as much pressure from the outside as they could and come after Brady as often as they could, and at the same time, get physical with Moss, double him when you can, and hope the other guys don't beat you. They didn't get there enough. They got there enough in the first half to cause some trouble,
right. But
not enough. They didn't get there in the second half, and taking Moss, I don't want to say they took him out of the game, but limiting Moss's damage wasn't enough because Welker and Stallworth were out of this world.
And the problem with the Cowboys, I think, is people got to remember, when T.O. explodes, he already has a faction of people on his side. Like, in that locker room, like, even in Philadelphia, not everybody was on McNabb's side, remember? Some people were on
Hugh Douglas, there's a couple of big-name guys.
When T.O. has his explosion, and it's coming, trust me, you could just see it, it's coming, he's going to have some guys on his side. It's going to split apart the locker room. And then you got Wade Phillips sitting there, you know, looking around like the country bumpkin that he is. And it was a bad decision to kick the field goal. I don't think his bad coaching really affected the outcome of the game, because I think it pretty much would have went the same regardless. But I'm saying now, after a loss, things aren't all rosy in Dallas. So let's see how they do it.
Next week they play Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's the type of team you actually don't want to play, because they're a team you can look past.
Right.
They're a team that can run the football, stay in it. You know, we all know how Dallas starts off slowly. They don't score in the first quarter. And all of a sudden, you're in one of those bogged down games. But, Fred, the one thing you said about Wade Phillips doing what he does.
Yeah.
See, I was talking to my father last night, and I thought he brought up a good point. He told me, he said, you know, I know everyone says Belichick has an ego, and I'm sure that he does. He said, but the reason why he thought he was such a great coach is because he doesn't really coach with an ego. He changes it. You know what I mean? Like, he was talking about Kansas City in the playoff game against the Colts, where the Colts had 25 men up at the line ran the ball.
That's a great point.
And he said, you know, Belichick, he'll take things from Paul Brown and Don Coryell and use them. He's not so egotistical where he says, this is my thing and we have to do it. And I think that's a big thing. You said Wade Phillips did say that after the game, too. He said, well, I thought our scheme was fine. And he gave up 400 yards passing and 5 touchdowns. You know, he said we would have done the exact same thing.
Right.
It didn't work.
Yeah, one of the things.
You know what that is? That's throwing it on the shoulders of your players. I had the right plan. They just didn't execute it.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying.
But what I hate about those guys is, don't you feel like you could do that? Like, you could be a football. Let's face it. None of these guys that coach nowadays have actually innovated the schemes that they use.
No.
Okay.
Maybe Dom Capers a little bit.
I was going to say some to a lesser extent than others, but can we all agree that Wade Phillips didn't design the 3-4 outside linebacker pressure scheme defense? Okay, so we do what we do. So what do we need you for then?
Right.
What do I need you for? Brad Childress last year. Well, we run the Tampa 2. We stopped the run with our big guys. Why do I need a head coach?
Yeah.
Like what would possibly change during the course of a game? Fred, you always make fun of me about baseball.
Right.
Like anybody could manage it.
That's correct.
Well, why couldn't couldn't anybody be 28 out of the 32 coaches? There are very few Bill Belichicks out there that actually, go with the flow and change based on personnel and opponent and everything. They do everything well. I think the way that you put that, Tom, the way that your father put it, is perfect. He doesn't coach with an ego because it doesn't have to be his way.
Right.
It can be any way that they think is best
as
to win.
As long as they win.
I'm sure he can't wait to get on the show because he's already called. Craig from South Carolina is on the phone. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Things are good. 6-0 on top of the NFL.
Yeah, another big win.
Yep.
I hate to blow my own horn, but here I go. 20-point win and the Cowboys' penalties were going to kill them. Remember, Fred, I brought that up last week.
Sure
I also remember you said that Dallas wouldn't move the ball, so.
Man!
Well, they got, look, our defense held them to under 300 yards, and they're supposed to be the number one defense in football. So I think we did a pretty good job.
And 27 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
In all fairness, 20.
One of them was a defensive score.
In all fairness, if Dallas doesn't commit 12 penalties, they probably scored 47 points.
Right.
And it wasn't really anything the Patriots defense did to stop Dallas. It was more kind of what Dallas did to stop Dallas. Would you agree with that?
Combination of the two.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
After the first two possessions of the game.
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots came out guns ablazing, first two possessions, three and outs. From that on,
right?
You know, Dallas did pretty much whatever it wanted on offense, and the Patriots just did more than whatever they wanted on offense. That was the difference of the game, was the Patriots' offense, not the Patriots' defense.
As it will be probably all
every
season.
Game.
Yeah,
every game. That offense is unbelievably scary.
Yep.
All right, one question. Do you guys think that Welker is still a nice little player, or is he?
I will say this. That was an absolutely phenomenal game. I'm not going to be stubborn. That's the best game he's ever had in his career, Craig, by far.
I understand that.
By far, best game he's ever had in his career. If he does that more often, then I'll be the first guy to admit it. We all looked at each other.
If he does that more often, he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
No, if he does that, Fred, let's not get carried away here. He had 120 yards receiving.
Look, I think he's a great player and that he was worth every penny that they paid for.
All I'm saying is that great players have more than one career 100-yard game.
He just started his sixth game with the Patriots.
Fred, it's his fifth year in the league.
Oh, with the Miami Dolphins with an idiot team.
Well, you know, great players are great no matter what team they're on.
Craig, I'm going to continue to be stubborn because – I'm in the locker room, and all I hear is, we have to stop Randy Moss. So that's proven our point for us. We said Welker would benefit from all the people trying to stop Moss. In the first couple games, when it was Moss, nobody cared
about that. But that's the point. That's why Belichick knew he was worth spending this money
on. Yes, exactly.
It was an excellent...
Just out of curiosity, okay? Well, but let me say this. I'm not going to be stubborn, okay? He had a great game. Not a good game. Not a good little game. He had a great game. He made catches, constantly made extra yards after the catch, constantly made guys miss, breaking tackles. Phenomenal game. If he did that more often, and I'm not saying 11 catches. I mean, let's face it, that was a great game. But I'm saying if I saw performances similar to that more often than not, I would say that I'm wrong. He's more than a good little player. I'll just leave it at that.
And I'll give you something. I don't think he could do that on another team.
But what I'm saying is that if you're a great player, you're a great player no matter what team you're on.
No, I understand
that. You're not just a great player because you're on the best team in football.
For this system, he's great. He's perfect.
Yes, I agree with that.
Perfect.
He's a good fit for
this
system.
I can't remember the last time I looked at league stats and saw two players in the receiving column, top receivers.
How many catches do you think Troy Brown would have if Wes Welker wasn't a Patriot?
Paul. Troy Brown's been here for a long time, too.
He's not a great player.
No, I know, but Troy Brown's been here for a long time, too.
I know, but he's not a great player.
This is the first time that the Patriots have had two receivers in that column.
Since what?
Since Brady's been here.
It's also the first time they've had Randy Moss.
It's the first time Brady's had 21 touchdown passes. Is this the first time he's been great?
I think it's a combination of everything. Brady getting these receivers. Brady's been here for 6 years.
It's Randy Moss.
Yeah. I mean, that's
part of it.
You can try to get all, you know...
And
analytical
Dante
all you
Stallworth,
want. It's
Wes
Randy
Welker.
Moss. All the rest
but
of them.
But the point is, at the beginning of the season, and you can't deny it, you said that they paid too much for this guy.
I still
he's
think
not
they
worth
did.
It. On this team.
I still think they did, Fred, because I think if
on this team, he's worth it.
Fred, if Wes Welker was not on the Patriots, they'd be 6-0. They'd be averaging 38.3 points a game.
Oh, I don't know about that,
oh,
Paul.
Oh, they absolutely
come
would.
On.
And Troy Brown would have within five catches, plus or minus, of what Wes Welker has right now.
Look, I love Troy Brown. He doesn't have what Wes Welker has right now.
Well, I disagree with you.
Speed?
Well, I got all the respect.
Wes Welker is not fast at all.
Oh, come on,
Craig,
Paul.
I really don't care, to be honest with you.
Oh, now, don't treat Craig that way.
Why?
Why can't you respect him the way he respects us?
Why can Craig come on our show, patting himself on the back, tooting his own horn, completely ignoring all the things that he said that were going to happen that didn't happen?
Well, you can argue with him, but don't say you don't
so
care.
I don't
what
care
he
what
thinks.
His opinion is.
You
he's
do
only
care.
He's only interested in
Craig,
tooting his horn.
He's only mad.
I'm not mad at
he's
all.
He's mad because
Wes
Welker's proven him wrong, and the Red Sox lost last night.
I admit
he's really upset.
I admitted that. That was more than a good little game. He had a great game.
And he's having more than a good little season.
That was the first game that he had last night that I would say anything about that I was wrong out of six games.
All right. I just
you really don't think that Troy Brown out of the slot would have plus or minus five catches?
Hell no. Hell no.
I just can't believe
it.
And
if they thought that, they wouldn't have spent that money on Wes Welker.
They didn't know that Troy Brown was going to be healthy. That's the only thing about Troy Brown that you could say is maybe he wouldn't have been able to play all six games.
I just don't. Paul, I don't know. I don't know.
Paul, don't get me wrong. I love Troy Brown. You know, I mean, he's Mr. Patriot as far as I'm concerned. In his prime, he had the elusiveness and the speed and the moves. It's just some of the yards that Welker picked up. At Troy Brown at this stage of his career, I don't know if he was capable of doing that. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't say anything about the game that Welker had Sunday. I said,
I'm talking about the season.
For the season, Troy Brown would have very similar numbers to Wes Welker if he was playing and Welker wasn't here. It's an offensive machine. Do you think Sammy Morris is anything more than a pedestrian running back? He's just piling up 100-yard games. I mean, it's an offensive juggernaut. The guys that are in it, in large part, are feeding off of Brady and Moss. The rest of them are interchangeable parts.
Well, I'm not so sure about that.
Well,
I think Dante Stallworth's a lot better than Rashay Caldwell.
Of course he is.
So do you think Rashay Caldwell would have the numbers that Stallworth has?
Probably pretty close.
Well,
he had them last year, Fred.
Then why did
he
have
them last year? Because he couldn't play. That's my point. You get the best players you can get.
Well, then.
But the numbers would be the same. It's just an offensive machine.
No, then,
are you watching?
You're contradicting
yourself. Are you seeing
yourself.
How wide open everybody
you're
is?
Yourself.
Can you think of the last throw you saw Brady put one in a spot?
If all you had to do was add Randy Moss to the equation, then why go after Dante Stallworth? Why go after Wes Welker?
I don't know if you know, but they had those guys first.
Why go after Rashay? Why go after Stallworth? Why go after Wes Welker?
They didn't have Randy Moss then.
No.
Is my point,
well,
Fred. Moss made them all better. If they had Moss, they might not have done all that other stuff because it wouldn't have mattered.
I think it's more of a team
guys.
Game than you're giving it credit for.
I'm just glad they're all on our team.
It's a team game. I thought it was all just Wes Welker, according to Fred. You can't even give the guy a compliment. I'm telling him how great the guy played, and I'm still getting ripped.
But you still say that he wasn't worth what they paid for him.
Well, I think there's some truth to that, Fred. Why can I not have an opinion on that?
You can. Why can't I disagree with you?
I think 18 million.
All I'm doing is disagreeing with you.
But I think $18 million is too much for a slot receiver. That's all.
I'm not on this team with
not
his skills.
Not on this team. What does that mean?
Because he was the perfect fit for this team, and they knew that. That's why they went after him. That's why they went after Sammy Morris. Because
because he's the perfect style of running back for this team.
They targeted
Please.
Him on the first day of free agency,
Please.
Paul. They had his eye their
they
eye on
They liked
him.
The guy because he was a good candidate to be a backup
on
running back.
On this team.
Not for this team. They just liked the guy as a player. What is this stuff about this team? What does that mean?
Because they're not looking for the best 53. They're looking for the right 53.
Okay.
They've said that before. That's not my
words.
Yeah,
I understand that. And again, I would make the argument that Randy Moss was the right 53.
Hell
he was
yeah.
One of the right 53.
He's wrong. I mean, come on, Paul.
Fred.
You can only be stubborn to a point.
Let me ask you this.
At some point, you have to say
Fred.
Wes Welker's a good player.
I did.
Not a good little player. A good player.
I did say
and
that.
He's worth the money that they paid for
I don't
him.
Think that. Why do I have to say that? I think he is a good player.
Well, at the end of the season.
I think you can get that player for a lot less. How's that sound?
All right. Well, okay.
I don't think that player costs you a second-round pick and $18 million in guaranteed money.
Well,
That's the only thing I disagree with you on.
Well, you don't get him if you don't because he's a restricted free agent.
Yeah,
ball.
And then you just plug in someone else to do the same thing.
See, I don't
Much like they've just plugged in anybody to run the ball out of the backfield.
Well,
why did they spend a first-round draft pick? Because Lawrence Maroney was the right guy for this team, evidently, Tom. But the only thing is when he misses games, it doesn't matter because the next guy just fits in, and he's the right guy for the team. And then he gets hurt, and Kevin Faulk runs for 50 yards in a quarter. That's my point
okay.
is
well, the
they're so
time,
good, Fred. It right. doesn't matter.
Right. The next time that a player says, you know, the coaching gets too much credit, I want you to come to the defense and say, no, you know, in this team, you can plug in anybody.
No, with Brady and Moss, you're missing my point.
Okay, but now with Brady and Moss, you can plug in anybody.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just remember that because that's going to come back to bite you at some point.
Not unless Brady gets hurt. It'll never come back
well,
and
course,
bite me.
Of course, yeah.
Because as long as Brady's out there, you can never prove my point wrong.
I seem to think
the only way you can prove
that
wrong is if Brady gets hurt, Matt Castle comes in, and they don't skip a beat. Then I'm wrong. I don't think that would happen. But then I would be 1,000% wrong. If they just, you know, Castle goes in, and he's got 10 touchdowns in 3 weeks, then I would be wrong. But I don't think that would happen.
Okay.
I don't know how you feel. You probably think Matt Castle's the right guy for the team, evidently, though.
Hey, Felger's not even here.
Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I thought
to the Bucs. That's,
you know,
that's a good pickup.
You figure we'd have nothing to argue about, right?
Well, I still think Wade Phillips stinks.
That's a good pickup for the Bucs, though, Tom.
Yeah.
Michael Bennett from the Chiefs.
Well, we'll have
today's the trading deadline, Fred. You might want to get some news out there, too. Patriots need anybody? Are there any guys that would be a good fit for this team that they could go out and trade like their two first-round
Chad Johnson.
We'll have to see what our listeners think if Wes Welker's more
Jeez,
than just a little good
I wonder how that will go.
Right. Oh, because our,
By the
our
way,
listeners
I'm,
are idiots.
I'm curious to – oh, you got to go to the phone calls.
Why? No, Salt can hold on for one second.
I was curious to wonder, are you at all disappointed by the Patriots celebration or anything? I mean, Jeez. You know what they're missing was the Bud Light box.
I thought it was only week six. That's.
I thought it was just a week six win.
Eating popcorn,
pouring popcorn
on the sidelines.
Over each other, dancing around.
On the way to
which,
the locker
which,
room.
Which, by the way, let me state before. On the field. They were dumping popcorn
on
each other.
On the way to the
locker
room.
On the field.
On the field.
On the field.
So?
Now,
I'm just asking it because Bill always tells me it's just week six. It's not the Super Bowl.
Well, I want to state this before
so now
the fans...
we're going to compare that to what the Red Sox did. Okay.
Oh, you're comparing week six win to a division title?
Okay.
That's what you're doing? Right. But I want to state this for the record, for the fans.
Yes.
I have no problem with the celebration because I think having fun is part of the game.
Well, if
and
you
they can
did,
do that anytime they want.
Then you would be a hypocrite because Absolutely. You had no problem with the Red Sox.
Absolutely.
So forever now, you can never criticize any team for celebrating
in
because
victory.
Of what the Red Sox
in
did.
In victory. I'm not talking about celebrating like a an incomplete pass. I'm talking about when you win a game,
I hear
you. You can have fun, and I have no problem with that. I had no problem with San Diego last year. I think that, yes, do I think that there are times where they turned it up a little bit? Yes. I think this was one of them. I think that was one of them. I don't have a problem with showing emotion after a big win. I think that's fun. I think that's part of sports. Fred has a problem with it,
but
though.
Except the fans. They have to sit down. They can't stand
Fred up. Fred has a problem with it, though, because obviously he's established the fact that these things bother him. So evidently, he's really upset at his team.
I don't have a problem with the celebrating. I just, you know what I like? I like how the old Cowboys used to tell you they were going to kick the crap out of you. Then they went out there and kicked the crap out of you.
And then yawned after they did it.
The only thing I think is a little fraudulent with this team is they think all this, let's not say anything matters. Because if they could have said whatever they wanted this week, and they still would have kicked the crap out of the Cowboys.
That's the part that bothers me.
They're that much better.
How many teams do you think go into a Patriots game, right, and all the stuff that they say and afterwards? And like, you don't think Dallas would look at that? Let's say if Dallas played the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You don't think Dallas would sit there and have all of that stuff that came out after the game, them wiping off their shoulders. Oh, is that popcorn? Rodney Harrison and all those guys.
Sure
they'd have
they
all of that. And you know what would happen?
It wouldn't matter.
The Patriots would beat them by 21 points again in the Super Bowl, and then no one's saying, the Patriots shouldn't have done all those things. It's not a cause and effect. Do you know what I mean? If the fact that the Patriots won had nothing to do with the stupid stuff that Terrell Owens did, better than Dallas.
It's all gamesmanship, and I think that this stuff does motivate players.
But you know what I'm saying, Fred?
Yeah.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, none of that mattered if the Patriots didn't go out and play so well.
Right.
And that stuff didn't make them play well. Like this whole notion that they've got their motivation now because people still call them cheaters. That's a bunch of crap. They're so much better than everybody else.
Tom Brady got hurt.
But I think you're right, Paul. They are, this year, so much better than everyone else. But I think, overall, I think those little things to individual players matter.
I got to tell you, I'm starting to think this is the best team that I've seen.
It could
period.
Be.
Period. And I don't get overly impressed. I don't like to do that with what I'm seeing in the here and now because I'm a nostalgic kind of guy.
The only thing I don't see yet, I mean, even though the Patriots are ranked number two overall in total defense.
Yeah, I agree with you on this.
They're not a suffocating defense.
Right. And
they might turn
I heard Ditka talk, and he was pretty objective about it. He played the 85 Bears, and he said this would be a tough offense to stop. And he mentioned how Miami spread them out and had success. But he said the one thing the Bears had in their favor, they could do what no team in the league today can do. They could get pressure with four guys.
Right.
So that would help them. But I think it would be a good matchup because, he said, the team that beat them spread them out and threw the ball.
Yeah, see, there's no front fours like the Bears had anymore.
No, that's what he was saying. He said, that's why nobody can stop the Patriots today because you cannot get pressure on Brady quick enough with these front fours today.
This team is just so balanced in all aspects.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, has there been one thing that you've seen them do and you say, well, they're not really that good at that?
Right.
I mean, maybe if you want to call
punting.
Maybe if you want to call, but their coverage is great.
Right.
So that even defeats that. But maybe if you want to say maybe the secondary isn't quite, as strong. There's been some open receivers. But, I mean, that's a pretty good – if that's the weakest link they have, it's pretty strong, don't you think?
Right. All right, well, that's
I don't want to gush, but I mean, I think this is an absolute.
Chris Collinsworth said it Sunday night. He thinks this might be the
best team he's
ever been since he's been alive.
I mean,
got to beat the Colts though.
Colts
are the champions, and
that's right. And I'm still of the mindset that the Colts are legit. Their defense is legit, and that will be a game.
And the one thing I saw on Sunday that made me worry a bit about that Colts game is Jason Witten's a good tight end, but he doesn't run routes as good as Dallas Clark and Witten. They didn't go to him at all.
I was going to say, I thought that Dallas was their own worst enemy in that regard.
Because he was open.
I thought he was open throughout
the
game and made big plays.
After that series where Witten killed him, I think the Patriots did adjust a little bit, and Romo didn't have time to get to him.
I don't think you can do that against the Colts, because if you want to take away Dallas Clark, they'll say, go ahead.
Point taken. I have to admit, Salt, I did forget about you. But
I knew you did.
But Salt's on the line. How you doing?
I guess I got to buy you guys lunch, because you never make Lucky wait.
There you go.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Salt.
That was a good win. One thing I didn't really like. It was that 20 people couldn't get Marion Barber down in the end zone.
Yeah, I just watched that play a couple times on one of the ESPN loops that they have going, and it's an unbelievable hold on Flozell Adams that they didn't call.
It was a bad one.
It started at the 5-yard line and ended in the end zone. It was not that it would have mattered, because I think he would have broken that tackle too, but just an unbelievable individual effort. But at the same time, you're right, Salt. That can't happen.
So, and you wonder why.
And it was everybody, too. It wasn't like Larry Izzo was in there. Chris Wolfork, Rodney Harrison.
Jarvis Green had a shot. Eugene Wilson had a shot.
You want to know why
Asante
people.
Asante Samuel had a shot.
You want to know why people think he should be the starting running back in Dallas. He's a pretty good back. I mean, he really is. And
you know, there's something about guys with the ball in the end zone. If everyone had the same sense of urgency in the middle of the field that they do when they're trying to escape in the end zone, it'd be amazing, because it's so hard to get a guy down in the end zone. I don't know why that is. Even quarterbacks always seem to escape out of the end zone.
Well, I think part of that is in the middle of the field, you're not necessarily looking to squirt ahead on a play like that for every last inch that you can get. Whereas, you know, a quarterback that drops back, he's going to get sacked. He's going to say, well, I'm going down, but I gotta lunge forward here a little bit just to make sure I'm getting out of the end zone.
True.
Hey, Tommy, why didn't you push the topic more with T.O.? I heard you ask that one question about Sam Hurd, and that was like it from you.
About what?
You ask T.O. questions?
Game. Yeah. I mean,
huh?
He dropping balls. He was dropping balls on 5-yard outs. What was that all about?
Because someone asked that before me about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he just he said next question.
Yeah, you should ask him why he's being such a bitch about it.
Well, you know, I asked him about the Sam Hurd thing, if he wanted the ball down there, and he just said
next question.
Blah blah blah. Yeah. But he wasn't as talkative as he said he was going to be after the game.
Yeah.
Now, am I right that Andy's not there?
Andy's not here.
He might be coming down later, but he's not here right now.
Maybe he told you, but I heard him ask some questions to, like, Bill Belichick and to, like, Tom Brady. But there was some weird dude asking weird questions.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But like, we had a lot of emails. Who was that? Apparently, this is a guy that works for a Dallas sports radio, and that's his shtick. He does that a lot.
Jim, talk about the long touchdown pass to Dante Stallworth. It looked like you two were doing the jitterbug while the Dallas secondary was doing the Charleston.
Is that right? I don't know what the hell that means, but it was a great route.
Yeah, the one to Belichick was even better. Now, I didn't see the guy. Was he dressed up like with the fedora, with the press thing?
No, he looked normal.
Yeah. It's like you two were doing the jitterbug.
That's something
two were doing the jitterbug while they were doing the Charleston. And that's exactly how he said it. And the funniest part about that, Don Banks, who works at SI, was standing right next to me, and he turns to me and he goes, "Oh, that's what I was going to ask him." And like the eight people around us just started laughing.
Yeah. So apparently that's his shtick. He does that a lot, not just football, but he goes to different press conferences and stuff.
Yeah. He asked Belichick something about they made him look like flappy girls on the gin and juice.
Flapper girls on the gin and juice.
Yeah. Just like that.
Yeah.
And one last thing. I'm going to make a call out to all the Patriots listeners, and I'm going to the game in Miami, and I was wondering, I'm going to stay like 10 minutes away from the stadium if there anyone knows a good strip club.
I'm sure down in Miami there's
you'll
a few.
Find one.
Yeah.
Well, I bet there's a bunch.
Well,
I
we'll mean, just have to get some emails. So if anyone's listening, they know the gentlemen establishments in Miami. You can send them in, and we'll pass them along to Salt in Orlando.
I don't think we've ever gone to one.
Of course.
I don't think we've ever gone to one.
I don't go to any of them.
No, I know that you're above that sort of thing, just like you're above celebrations.
I don't frequent those places. We got a lot of emails here. We're going to get to them right after this.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and there he's 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks. Get your kicks and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. Never know who will host, but we always know Fred's in charge.
You will respect my authority.
Patriots.com Radio.
Respect my authority.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We got a ton of emails. Everybody wants to talk about this game. So that's what we're going to do right now.
Great
Tom,
game.
How's that sandwich? Tom's eating a turkey sandwich from Sunday. I'm eating a ham sandwich that was designated for one of the cheerleaders who didn't eat it. No surprise there.
All right. It was a great game, though, Fred. You got to have emails on this one.
Why are you teaming up on me?
Right. Hey, let's see. Russ from Walpole says, Tom, I was watching T.O.'s press conference after the game. Was that you who asked him a question?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. And he also says, I'm in agreement with you that Wade Phillips is not a good coach at all. The situation does remind me of Pete Carroll with the Pats. The Cowboys lack discipline, and that is a reflection of their head coach. I think they still have the talent to be in the Super Bowl. I believe they will get there in spite of Wade. Do you agree with that?
No, I do not. You look at their division. The Giants are playing well. The Redskins are tough. I think they're going to be in trouble there. The thing I said to you upstairs, Fred, something that I caught, Patrick Creighton said, I told my coach yesterday that if the Patriots get to Arizona, we'll see them again. Why wasn't the coach's response, listen, shut the F up and worry about Minnesota?
Right.
You know, so I do not think they will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I do admit that I do agree that they are the most talented team, but I don't think that they play as a team, and that will catch up with them.
I got to agree with you there, Tom. On the phone right now is Dave from the Philippines. Dave, how you doing?
Well, actually, I'm in a bad mood because the game's supposed to be on TV right now here, and instead there's boxing.
Oh.
Yeah. I rushed all the way back from Singapore to see the game, and it's not on.
They won.
So I'm disappointed about that.
Dave,
but
they won the game, 48-27.
Oh, yeah. I spent $29 on NFL.com.
I'm just kidding.
To get the radio access, and then I spent $20 to get internet access in the hotel room. And then I spent $4 on a set of cheap headphones so my wife wouldn't kill me for waking her up listening to the game. But getting up at 4 in the morning and listening to what the Patriots did to the Cowboys, that was priceless.
There you go.
I mean, it was a much better game than we've been getting in terms of entertainment value. It was close up until near the end. And, I really like the way the Pats came back. You know, they got behind in the third quarter, the first time they've been behind all year in the second half. And some teams in a road game against a decent team, they get behind like that, they would have folded. Our team just hit the accelerator and made Dallas look like roadkill on I-95.
That sums it up perfectly.
Couldn't put it any better myself, Dave.
27-3 from that point on, Fred.
Yep.
So it was really good. I liked the team's depth. You know, they did all that when they lost their starting tight end and they were down two running backs already and it didn't matter. In fact, I thought Kevin Falk ran pretty good compared to what they've been running earlier in the game. I think the defensive people were getting tired for Dallas by that time.
I agree.
I got the quote of the game. If you were listening to it on the radio, Gino said that they stole the Cowboys' lunch and they took their Twinkies, too. And then that's pretty much the way it sounded. You know,
thanks,
they
babe.
Get to see the game yet.
Yeah, they really they made a statement. They definitely did.
Nothing. The Cowboys had no answer, Dave, for anything the Patriots did on offense. They just threw the ball all over them. And, with the exception of Terrence Newman, I didn't think the Cowboys had a guy capable of covering anyone in the secondary. And, you know, I didn't think there was I was impressed with Dallas's resolve, to be honest with you. I thought despite getting down 14-0 quickly, they came back. The offense continued to move the ball. And they just didn't have any answers whatsoever for that Patriots offense. And I don't see many teams that are going to have any answers.
I honestly don't understand why they didn't try and run the ball more, because it seemed like they had a lot of good running plays with both of their backs. And the only way you're going to even have a hope of beating the Patriots is if you can keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. They were throwing it as much as they were running it.
I just thought they got behind. And you know, at some point when you're behind by two scores like that, you got to kind of...
Yeah, they were behind 14-0. Then they took the lead and kind of went behind
And they never got the ball with the lead. Otherwise, I think you would have seen a steady diet of running, because that drive that they took the lead on was actually mostly on the ground. It was two big Julius Jones runs.
I'm not ready to get on the 16-0 bandwagon yet, although I think
Dave,
you got
to do it, Dave.
The chance of any team that I've ever seen of doing it. I just think it's such a hard thing to be up every single week. On the other hand, I have no fear next week about Miami. Usually going down to Miami for a road game, you have to worry, but not this year.
They're garbage. Miami's
Fred,
garbage.
Are you worried, Fred?
The only thing I'm worried about.
Christ.
The only thing I'm worried about down in Miami
is Tom Brady getting there on time?
No, is if...
That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
Is if Maroney doesn't play and they don't have any running game...
They're garbage.
That it could bog down a little bit.
They're garbage.
I think Falk could give them enough of a running game to do the job against Miami. I'm not sure that's true about every team that they're going to face this year. But I just don't see much coming out of Miami this year.
No, I don't either.
I think that would make so little difference, I want to see Maroney not play, just so we can see how little effect it will have.
Okay. I think Maroney is going to play, so that's going to be a moot point.
I do as well. I think he'll be back, too.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
He spent a lot. We should probably let the listeners know. I don't know how many, follow that stuff. He spent a large portion of the pregame with his game pants on.
Who, Dave from Philippines?
No, Maroney.
Oh, Maroney.
On the field, working out, didn't really do it under the watch of any of the training staff, any of the medical staff, but was out there for a good, I'd say an hour anyway, Tom, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And just, running, jumping, stretching.
Yeah.
And he looked to be doing all of those things in a normal fashion, but.
Yeah, he'll be ready to go next week. Let's see. Alex says, hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, Tom, Gary, and John.
Hi, Alex.
This game lived up, failed to live up to the hype. Even when Dallas took the lead, I never felt the game was in jeopardy. Here's a little fact of fiction. One, the lack of running game will hurt the Patriots in bad weather.
Fiction.
In bad weather.
I would use the short passing game as the running game.
Yeah, but no, I think that's fiction. I think the Patriots can do it any way they want to.
Number two, Tony Romo is the next Danny White.
I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, Danny White was pretty good. I don't know if he's making fun of him.
Does he not never won the big game?
Maybe because he's just never really became great.
I'll tell you this.
I thought Romo did fine.
I was going to say, for all the talk about confusing, you know, I heard the Big Show guys talking about Boomer Esiason yesterday, and they say, Bill just gives you so many different looks. Well, you know what? None of them really worked. So what are you talking about?
Early they did, but after that,
Romo was
red hot.
They had those plays where they were, you know, walking defensive linemen around. Every time they had an all-out blitz, they beat them.
Right.
So I'm not really sure exactly what they're talking about. I agree with Tom. I thought Romo looked fine. I think they lost the game because they couldn't stop them, not
right.
because they couldn't score.
And right. to be honest, I don't think Romo's as good as Danny White yet. Danny White was a heck of a quarterback.
Well, that's why I said I kind of got the impression he was saying he'll be a stiff like Danny White. Whereas I think Danny White's pretty good.
He just got the thing of he couldn't win a big game, but you know some of that had to do with Joe Montana and Dwight Clark.
And he also followed Roger Staubach.
Yeah.
You know, you never want, as they say, Fred, you never want to be the guy that follows the legend.
Three, Wade Phillips is the second worst hiring, slightly below North Turner's.
No, it's worse.
And four, and finally, Eric Scalavino will be fired before Cam Cameron.
He will not be fired until, at least not during the season.
Yes, perhaps after we'll reevaluate like we do every year. We'll move forward.
Will we take part in the self-scouting process?
The only thing I would say about that email is I disagree. I thought the game lived up to the hype.
I thought it definitely lived up.
For three and a half quarters, that was a heck of a football
game. You can sit there and look at it and say, well, it was a 21-point game, Fred, but even you would admit that it wasn't a 21-point game, right?
No, not until the end.
I don't think the game was over until Wade Phillips kicked that field goal.
That was the end of the game right there.
Now, I thought the Patriots were going to win all along.
Right.
Now, you know how I am, you know, and you looked at me, as is our normal custom, the Patriots stop him 3-0 in the first possession. You looked at me, and I have to admit, I was thinking, that's it.
Right.
And so I never felt the Patriots were in trouble throughout the day, even when they were trailing. But the game wasn't over until Wade Phillips, instead of trying to get 5 yards to get within a touchdown, kicked a meaningless field goal. Now the game's over.
Yes, there were two 5-0 teams, but we're still talking about week six. So maybe the real thing is there was too much hype for that game.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. But I would say even when the Cowboys took the lead, I said, you know, this is the most important drive of the game because if they can somehow stop them or cause a turnover, I think the Cowboys would have scored again. So then they would have had another. But they just, like Paul said, they just couldn't. I mean, they could not stop them, and that was the game.
And there was some big third downs, too. Not like third and two, I'm running Sammy Morris off tackle.
They would definitely turn the third down conversion problems they had in Cleveland around in this game. We hit Craig in South Carolina. We were Dave in Philippines. Now we have Matt in Toronto.
What about Salt and
Oil? So we're all over the globe here. Matt, how you doing?
Good.
How are you? What's up?
Got a question for you. I work for the Jays up here, and I know about all the press box etiquette. How is it down there?
You mean overall or just in this particular game?
Just in particular game. I know that up here in Toronto, and I watch a few games from our scout seats, most in the press box. There's not a lot of cheering. There's no really emotion. Everyone's just doing their work, and as the game goes on, it's a little talkative here and there, but no really emotion. I remember Andy talking about Bill Polian in Indianapolis last year. How was it down in Dallas
this
year?
Well, you know, it's different game to game. What I will say is it's the same as in baseball where, you know, it's a working press box and you're not supposed to cheer, but New England media in particular has the most talkative media I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's not like they're cheering, but they've got a comment.
We're always yipping, but there's no real emotion or cheering anywhere.
No.
And even, you know, the Bill Polian things, we make fun of him. Every once in a while, we blow those out of proportion. I mean, every once in a while, he'll bang the desk or, you know, we don't like Bill
Polian.
He does
more than anyone else does.
Yeah, and he is certainly more animated than most others.
Right.
Yeah, now last week
From the press box, or did he have his own box?
He's there.
He usually watches from the press box, and that's a rarity also.
Although the last time we played the Colts here, he didn't watch from the press box.
Which was a good move.
Because I was ready for him.
Because I know JP, like my boss, watches
from
his own box.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a little weird. Also, question for Paul. And you know, you've been reviewing books about the New England Patriots. Have you heard about the blueprint, how the New England Patriots beat the system?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the...
Paul's in that book.
I'm prominently displayed in that book. I highly recommend it.
That's the one by Price, right?
Christopher Price wrote that book, yeah. Basically, what his thoughts were, and it's funny that you just mentioned J.P.
Yes.
It's funny you just mentioned J.P. because he's kind of a part of it. It was all based on... Christopher Price is a big baseball guy, and he was basing it on Moneyball with Michael Lewis's book on Billy Bean, which, you know, also J.P. Ricciardi, because he was with Billy out there in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what he's saying. They kind of have taken that approach to football. It's not a huge stretch. I mean, I think that there are a lot of similarities to it. And Chris, you know, interviews and talks to a lot of different people about it. And I haven't read it cover to cover yet, to be honest with you. So I couldn't give you a good report on a review on the book itself. But that's basically the gist of it.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it. It comes out today. Well, up in here in Toronto, it comes out today.
Yeah, well.
Also, quick question for you guys.
Give us a call back and let us know when you think.
Patriots United is a much better book, by the way.
Okay.
No comment.
And it was printed in Montreal.
Is this book, have you guys read Chasing Steinbrenner?
That was by Rob Bradford, I believe.
Yes. It talks about how Theo and JP were always trying to chase Cashman and Steinbrenner.
I didn't read it, but I know the book. I know what you're talking about, yes.
Is this kind of like that, or is it just kind of like how...
I think it's more
like Moneyball.
I think it's more like Moneyball, talking about the philosophies that the Patriots have used to put together this dynasty that they're in the midst of.
Well, anyways, boys, I'll take enough of your time. I'll let you get back to the show. And, Fred, you're a hell of a mensch, and take care, guys.
Wow. All right, hell of a mensch.
I love the Canadian accent, by the way.
Well, that's Matt from Toronto, who works for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I love the Canadian accent, though. We have, you know, I have the Boston accent here, the boat and the Scots.
I love Toronto. I've been up to Toronto. I went up there with a family vacation, and we had an awesome time. It's a great city. It really is.
Never been to Toronto. You ever been to Toronto?
No.
We stayed at...
think about it, huh?
We stayed at this
I've been
hotel.
Somewhere. I don't think it was Toronto.
We stayed at this hotel that had an indoor water slide.
How long do you think Gary's
going to
play that song for?
I don't know. Until we mention it. That's the great Rennie Rencor singing the national anthem from the Bruins. All right, let's get back to these emails, shall we?
Until the Canada talk, so, Tom.
Dwayne is there emailing in, and he says, I've heard some say that the Patriots' defense didn't do so well against Dallas. They gave up under 300 yards of total offense and only 20 points while the defense was on the field. Patriots gave up 20 points while the defense was on... Okay.
Right, we know that.
I noticed most runs were attacking the side of Jarvis Green. Is it okay to assume that the return of Richard Seymour will relieve some of the Pats' woes against the run?
Well, first thing, Fred, is this. Their best defense was their offense because they controlled the clock. They controlled the ball. They kept getting third down. It wasn't like they just kept scoring on one play. I thought
the Cowboys
the first quarter, I thought the Cowboys did basically anything they wanted to do offensively. I really did. I don't agree with everything they did. I thought they should have used Witten more, but they ran it when they wanted to run it. That when they had a pass, they completed it. I just think the Patriots had more bullets in their gun. I think that's the bottom line.
I agree with Tom. Just to illustrate that point, they did what they did on offense. Dallas did in what, 18 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots absolutely dominated the clock. Maybe 22 minutes.
Right.
I mean, you know, it was 30. I think it was 38-22.
And they didn't
then,
do nothing in the first quarter.
The first two drives, the Patriots completely stuffed them, 3-0. From that point on, I thought Dallas was either moving at will or stopping themselves with penalties.
Well,
and the penalties. And I don't want to make it, you know, this isn't like they had a 25-yard pass completion overturned because of an offensive pass interference call. You know, this was like they had a 25-yard completion overturned because two idiots were moving at the same time at the snap. I mean, something that you wouldn't see in a Pop Warner game,
right,
let alone a pro game.
The only questionable call, and I thought there was bad calls on both sides of the ball, by the way. The Harrison hold in the end zone they didn't call. The Randy Moss offensive pass interference call was awful.
I hate that call in general, pass interference. That's the new call now that you have to call. Every time there seems to be any kind of separation of the arms, it's ridiculous.
But the only questionable call, I think, on the Cowboys side, which was a big call, was the 4th-and-1, the holding on the 4th-and-1 there.
I didn't think that was questionable, by the way, after watching the replay. You just can't tackle a guy.
Yeah, I just thought I thought that one was questionable.
I thought the pass interference was questionable on Watkins, I think. Patrick Watkins?
Oh, yeah, the one in the end zone.
I thought that he jumped that route. He recognized what was going on. He has a right to that space. Yes, there's contact, obvious. Anybody could see that. But I thought he has just as much right to that space as the receiver does.
Yeah.
And he stepped in to make a play. And the ball, by the way, was well overthrown. Well, and I think it was overthrown on purpose, by the way.
And I'm not blaming the officials because the Cowboys made a lot of stupid penalties on their own. It's their own fault.
The other 11 penalties were legit.
But you know, when you have a Mike Carey officiated crew, you got to be extra careful because anything you do, that flag's coming out.
Well, you know, I do, you know, and I know we shouldn't really be too worried, but I do worry a little bit about the defense because the offense is just so good.
And it takes away the
sense of urgency to the defense, and then all of a sudden you get into a game where, oh, my God, now you need that good defense, and you can't just switch it back on like that.
And again, you're talking about one game. You're talking about the Colts.
No, I'm talking about, you know.
They'll beat everybody else, no problem.
But there's no one else that's going to be able to do that.
Well, you know, I just don't know.
I think Dallas has
Pittsburgh might.
I think Dallas has a pretty good offense. I do.
I think Pittsburgh's okay.
I'm not saying that, you know, all these teams stink. I think Dallas has a pretty good offense, and they move the ball pretty well. But I don't think that a lot of other teams have that kind of
Pittsburgh's
power.
I don't think Pittsburgh's offense is in the same
class. I think
Cowboys.
Cincinnati has a pretty good offense, too, but they weren't able to move the ball
They just suck this year.
They weren't able to move the ball the way that the Cowboys were. I think that you need to be balanced to move the ball against the Patriots.
Cincinnati's another example of what's going on in Dallas.
That's what I said.
Individuals.
They're the Bengals of the NFC.
You're right.
Just said that.
Dwayne also says, is it possible that the Patriots are in a position where they must re-sign Randy Moss? Brady remembers the Deion Branch contract situation and how the New England contract negotiation table took away his favorite weapon. If this was to happen again, wouldn't there be a significant risk that Brady would become irritated and unhappy with the team?
I think this is a great debate. You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, winning the division and all that stuff for, you know, we don't have to worry about playoff seedings for a while. This is a great debate. Do you bite the bullet, Fred, and give Randy Moss an extension? First of all, it wouldn't be for those reasons anyway. It wouldn't be because I have to keep Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I don't worry about because, you know, I know that he's going to be.
I don't do anything until we win the Super Bowl this year. You know, I want to get that in my pocket first before I start talking about his contract.
Well, I think it's a great debate.
Do you give him the money? Because he ain't. This isn't no more we're going to get him for the cheap.
No,
Randy Moss
no.
is going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. It's going to cost you now.
I think that would be a mistake by any team who does it. Because I think there was some truth to the things that came out of Oakland. And I think he was rejuvenated. I think he's refocused. But you give him a ton of money at his age, I think it's a gamble. And I'm not talking about his off-the-field stuff or anything like that.
No.
I'm just talking about him being an older receiver with a Super Bowl ring.
You even see it now. When he goes across the middle, it doesn't take much to get him down. He's not, you know, he can outrun somebody, but he can't juke somebody out. You know, he's basically, as soon as he's touched, he's down.
If you want to give him top dollar, because he's going to be asking for top dollar.
The last time they were in this situation, they gave the extension, and it didn't go well with Corey Dillon. Now, I'm not saying that Randy Moss is Corey Dillon, because to be honest with you, I don't think Corey Dillon ever fit in the way Randy Moss has fit in so far. I think Moss has been far better in all aspects. I think he's played better, and I think he's acted better and all that stuff. I don't know. I think it's a great debate. Do you worry about, because it's going to cost you what he was making before, minimum.
Here's my strategy, and I might even share it with Tom Brady. I mean, if I'm Scott Pioli and Bill Belichick, before the season's over, just so Tom knows where we're coming from and there's no surprises, I'd say to Tom, say, look, let's try to win a Super Bowl with this guy. Once he wins the Super Bowl, then we'll go back to him and say, hey, you know, how's it feel being on a winning team?
Do you want to keep winning like that?
You want to keep winning like that? Give us a little hometown discount, and we'll give you some good money, but we're not going to break the bank. That's one. If we don't win it, I go back to him and say, look, we came close. We can do it next year. You know, maybe there's a couple more things. I still do the same thing, but with a different logic behind it. And that's how I would do it.
I like your plan.
You know?
I like your plan. Yeah, so. Makes sense.
And maybe he does want to stay here. Maybe he's with a guy now with Brady where he knows it ain't going to get any better than this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to do? Leave here and do what? Go to Houston or Atlanta? For what?
And I go to Moss, I go, you know, and you know, these guys aren't stupid. They don't need to be told this. But, you know, in order to keep winning, we need to re-sign Wilfork's already done, right? See, did they extend him yet?
No, they extended Warren.
They got to do Wilfork coming up. You know, there's other guys that they're going to have to keep signing in order to keep this thing going. So I think Moss is a reasonable guy from what I've seen. I think he wants to win at this stage of his career, and that's more important.
That's the only question is to whether,
right,
you know.
To what degree.
How long does he want to
right.
win? Is one Super Bowl enough?
Right. And I mean, I look at it as him.
But there's also records. I mean, he's got that to think about, too, and he's not going to do better than Tom Brady.
I'm not convinced that he's going to be willing to do that. But that doesn't mean you don't try.
Yeah, I give it a shot. What the hell? Let's see. Steve from Winchester writes in. He says, interested to hear that Tom believes beer and food have nothing to do with a big football game. A few executives at the trillion-dollar beer industry might disagree.
No, I said for me.
Oh, for you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's Tom and I.
Watching the Dallas game, I wasn't impressed with the 1-4-6 defense they ran at the end of the first half. In general, the defense was pretty good against a very good offense, but the Jarvis Green and a bunch of small guys' defense was very unsuccessful. I was even more surprised when they were poised to use it inside the 10. So,
yeah, I mean, that's part of what I was talking about with, you know, they come up with so many different things, and they do. And we all know that the Patriots are very imaginative, and that's what we talked about early in the show. But I just don't think that a lot of that stuff that they came up with was overly effective on Sunday. I don't think Romo was confused. I think that he played and the Patriots were better.
Yeah. Let's see. Alejandro says, the Patriots won by 21 points, but I still can't get over Friday's show. Don't worry, Paul. Your All Alone show is still the worst by a wide margin, but consider this. One, I miss Gary. Can you believe that? His replacement wouldn't even hang the phone up. Two, Fred came with this great idea of having a 1-800 number. I had nightmares about someone in South Carolina calling for free. Three, I want Tom Casale's job. I'd love to call my boss stupid and get away with it. Nice discussion.
I don't remember him calling you stupid.
Oh, he does all the time.
Do you do that?
It was probably when he picked the Cowboys.
Right. It's probably.
It's amazing that you're going around all the emails that are ripped to you, too.
I'll get to those. Nice discussion about the current Patriots and the 90s Cowboys. One question, are the Patriots and Colts switching roles with the New England grabbing all the headlines and records while Indy is quietly undefeated?
Well, that's the one thing I wanted to touch on with you guys. I've noticed from emails and stuff and just things I've been reading, it's how many records can we break? Can we break this record? I thought that didn't matter.
That's a big thing that they're always concerned about. Has anybody ever done this? Has anybody ever won this amount of games by that? I mean, these little obscure stats that...
But who cares?
Not me.
Don't you just want to win the Super Bowl?
16-0, baby. That's something that's never been done. Right. That's what I want to do.
I mean, I really don't care how many records Randy Moss breaks.
I mean, our media relations department's going to go nuts by the end of the year with this is the first time and this is that time and who, you know, because there's going to be so much of that this year.
I think the magic number to clinch the division is one, by the way, because I don't see anybody in that division winning 7 games.
No. It's amazing.
You mean one is in week one?
No, one as in they have one game to clinch,
right,
mathematically.
The magic number. Let's see. TG says, Fred, you're a buffoon.
Now you're finally reading them.
Was that Fred at the press conference in Dallas asking those crazy questions after the game? I don't know who is worse when it comes to making the weekly picks. Fred, the passive-aggressive homer, or miserable Eric, the fantasy kicker? Kellen Winslow said Joey Porter needs a hug. Maybe Eric the Leg needs one, too. Hey, Mr. Dallas, I guess he's talking to you, Tom. What was your impression of your boys' receivers versus the Patriots' secondary? How's Rodney look? Asante, is this not an area of concern for the Patriots? John Buzzkill Tomasi made a good point. The Colts will watch this film for a clue.
Yeah, and I was actually talking to Tomasi after the game, and we thought Harrison struggled, and I know the guys here agreed with me. That's why I'm surprised they didn't go to Witten more, because Harrison had a terrible time covering him. And I just thought, you know, Harrison was complaining to the officials. He was complaining to his teammates. Listen, you're getting beat like a rented mule. Shut up.
Yeah,
you know,
starting to look like Roy Williams out there.
Yeah, seriously. I thought, shut up and play.
I agreed with Tom on Harrison's assessment. I thought that Hobbs has struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I had someone say to me.
That's Andy, by the way. Banging in, he's like
big
a bull in a china shop.
I had someone say to me, can you believe how bad Samuel was after the game? And I did not notice Samuel out of position.
On the plane, someone said that to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not notice him out of position in coverage once all game. I really didn't. Yeah. And, you know, with the exception of missing, being one of the 11 guys that missed a tackle on Barber in the end zone, I can't really recall a play that I said, wow, that was a bad play by Samuel. Not one.
I don't either.
I thought they attacked the safeties a little bit more. It was more the middle of the field.
Yep.
And
they had three of them out there a lot, so there was more to attack.
And the one thing I will say is that Roy Williams was—they showed it on NFL Network—was responsible for two touchdowns. He double teamed Mike Vrabel and let Kyle Brady go out, and then the Moss touchdown where he was wide open—that was they were showing that was actually where Roy Williams was supposed to be. So he only gave up two. That's pretty good game for him. He only gave up two touchdowns. I'm actually surprised.
And he actually made some tackles, quickly after a guy had caught the ball.
Good,
in his
solid
area.
Game for Roy.
TG also says, once again, in regards to Wes Welker, is the nice little player argument running out of steam? Yes, it is. Did you guys see Junior get called back?
We already did that.
Did you guys see Junior get called back to the sidelines in the last goal line drive? He starts heading out, I assume to block for Echol. I started yelling at the TV. Then I see the coaches on the sideline call him back. He looked like a kid all dejected because the coaches wouldn't let him play. I guess now we know why he's called Junior.
Today, Junior.
And we were actually walking down. We were on our 35-minute jaunt down to the locker rooms at that point.
It was amazing how long it took us to get back down there.
Thanks to some VIPs as well.
Yeah, and I should mention.
Did you get a chance to see Kate Hudson, though?
I touched her.
I didn't. Did you see anybody?
We kind of rubbed upper bodies.
Wade Phillips touched me.
I was going to say.
Oh, did you mean by the elevator? Did you mean where did I touch her, or where were we when I touched her?
I meant where did you touch her?
Yeah,
and
my chest is bigger than hers.
God, you are a creep.
We should talk about the stadium. I mean, I was glad to go there because I had never been there, and this will be my only time. But thank God they're taking
the
bulldozer to that place. Oh my God!
I will say,
from
the fans' perspective, it looked like a pretty good place to watch a game.
Well, it's kind of like Buffalo, where the bowl.
Yeah, it's got the bowl,
but the stadium itself, in terms of amenities,
but it's all 1932.
But the part I didn't get is for the press box, which they use every week. Why are there like cobwebs and dead bugs? It was like there hadn't been a game there in 10 years, and they all of a sudden, oh, we got to use it this week.
Yeah, it's like playing at the Hall of Fame game.
Well, it's interesting because Eli was at the game, and I'm going to skip a little bit of what he's talking about as far as the game itself. I might get back to that, but he says, Texas Stadium is a hole. I figured I'd read it. I thought Arrowhead was old. The cash parking lot sucks. The traffic is worse than Gillette. Six highways that don't move. Red Sox game Saturday night suck. Nice waste of $100 to see at a bar and watch that until after midnight. Thought Tom might be happy. And a note for Andy, your name and the word ass seems to be together a lot. And I just want to add that at times you are an ass, but it's damn entertaining. So keep up. Love the show. Looking forward to Indy and Pittsburgh. Might make that trip there in December. So he was at the game in Dallas.
And is venting about a lot of things all at once.
Yeah.
I thought it was just the stadium the way you started. Then
it was
the parking lot,
at
Red
Texas
Sox.
Stadium in with you.
Everything. And just so you know, that's my life right there. Everybody I know thinks I'm an ass most of the time.
Yeah, why is that?
Because he is.
Because you are one. Exactly.
I've accepted it. You people keep saying it like I don't understand. I am.
Okay. Let's see. Dave says, great game this week. Welker had a very good game, but you're right. He's no Hall of Famer, but he's still very good. Please don't answer Craig's call anymore, by the way. What do you say for the score of the Miami game this week? I expect 35-14. Oh, and can you play the clip of Belichick singing Love Potion number 9? So, anyway. There's no way Miami scores 14 points.
Problems back there?
We love Potion number 9. I held my nose. I closed my eyes.
I took a drink. Oh.
I like 50-2.
I don't know what that is.
It's from Patriots Monday.
On yesterday?
No,
he's had that.
It's old. You've never heard that before?
Never heard that before.
We've had other people request it, I think, and Gary plays it.
Never heard
it. It's
that
a favorite before. Of the PFW fans.
Never heard of Billy Bear.
Can I get something off my chest, by the way?
Sure.
Our boy Lucky?
Yes.
Have we talked about this?
No. He was here, though.
First of all, hitting on Lori at the asking her if
Lucky.
He could have
some of her
muffins.
The game with the greats was a huge success.
We're going
to write a little bit about that this week.
Claiming that the food he sent was supposed to be for her and that we screwed her by never giving her any.
This guy.
Really? Oh, see, Andy's mad because
he's hitting on my girl.
Yeah. Well, Lucky, send us the food again when it
Lucky.
Comes home. We'll
make
sure tell her
this
to come.
That's what I said.
Exactly. This time we'll make sure that it gets to Lori.
Right.
So send it again.
Sure we will.
Care of Gary at the security shack. We'll make sure that Lori gets it.
Jim in Denver says, I'm sure this has probably been covered, but is Watson's ankle okay?
What do you mean by okay? My guess is he doesn't play this week, but it's not serious. Okay. That's a guess.
Do you think the league will ever punish Roy Williams for his despicable tackling habits? Even though this wasn't a horse collar tackle on Watson, he seems to be making a career of injuring players by pulling them backwards.
Right, let me try to explain this to you for the last time. He tackles that way because he's a bad football player. He's taking bad angles on ball carriers, and he has to take them down from behind.
But what did he do on that play?
That wasn't a horse collar. He just grabbed him from behind because he's a bad football player, and he's never in position. That's really why he horse collars. Trust me. I can show you some tapes. The thing that he did to T.O., he comes flying in, and he takes a bad angle, and then he has to grab him and bring him down.
The horse collar, I can understand. They made a rule that outlawed that, and that's, you know, I would say that that's over the line, but what did he do on that Watson play?
I take the same stance on both. It's football. Guys get hurt.
Well, I know
it's
you
a
don't
physical
like
game.
You don't like the horse collar rule, and nor do I. But
I don't like many of these rules.
But they've
that
outlawed
take
it.
Many people do it. It's like one.
They've outlawed it, and
but
really,
that's why,
it's only a problem with one guy.
Right. That's why I think it screws the other guy, the guy who does it once in his career, and maybe he's diving in a Super Bowl to save a touchdown to help his team win, and he's going to get called for a penalty because Roy Williams did it too much.
Two, how similar do you think the defensive game plan from this game will be to the game with the Colts? Wade Phillips gave the game away when he kicked that last field goal, and I feel like the Colts would have run the ball with fourth and goal on the three, as the Pats did a passable but not great job with the run all day.
I actually made the comment to you, Tom, at the
they
game.
They should have ran it on third
down. On third down, I think it would have been a good time to take a shot with a run.
If Paul, in his defense, it's not like he has one of the best goal line backs in football or anything. You know, why would he do something like that?
According to Rodney Harrison.
In his defense also, see, I was actually thinking of going for it on third down because I was thinking, I'm down 14 with 10 minutes to go. It's two down territory anyway. He was actually thinking, in his defense, if I don't get in here, I got to kick a field goal.
I probably should tell the people, Fred, if they didn't hear Wade's response to why he kicked that field goal. He said,
answer ever.
Yeah, he said, well, looking back, he said, I probably should have gone for it. He said, but yeah, at the time, I thought it was the right move. He said, if I had a play that would have scored, I'd have used it on third down. Can you imagine that?
So he had no confidence in the third down play.
Right. So he ran a play, which was awful on third down, by the way, a fade to Sam Hurd. He knew that wasn't going to work, and apparently he had no more plays. So that you know what that tells me, Andy? That tells me that when they hired Wade, you know what they said? You're not doing nothing with the offense. That's Jason Garrett. You don't do nothing with
because
how can you answer it that way? He had no clue what was going on. So basically, Wade is there for the defense. The defense stinks. Good job, Wade.
John from Palm Bay is on the phone right now. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I just had a couple quick questions and one comment. My question is, who from the IR squad did they activate?
Nobody
yet.
Today's the day that they have to. No.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the day they have to.
They don't have to do anything.
They don't have to do anything.
Well, yeah, this is the first day they could do it is today.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Tomorrow.
But they don't have to do anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to declare if they're starting to practice, right?
If they're going to start to practice.
If a guy practices.
Is today Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday. I was thinking it was Monday.
Today's the first day that they can do anything, but it's an off day, first of all. And second of all, if they start practicing, then they will tell us. And, tomorrow someone will ask if any of the PUP guys he plans on practicing, and he'll let us know.
Yeah. So we'll find that out tomorrow, John.
Okay, that's good to know. And as far as the game one, they looked really good. I'm beginning to start to believe you guys. They might go 19-0. Still waiting, taking it one game at a time.
That's all right. Andy and I will let everybody on with us.
The bandwagon is growing, but we'll let everybody on.
I actually think the Colts are going to beat
them. I start my engine after the Colts game. If they get by that game, I'll start.
Well, you're a gambling man. You wait till
till they beat the Giants, and then maybe I'll believe it.
I'm going to wait. Yeah, I'm going to wait till they win the 16th game, and then I'll say, yeah, they can go 16-0.
Well, I don't think
that's
they
the
can
only
right
team
now
left on the schedule capable of beating them.
Of course, you didn't think they could beat the Cowboys.
That's true, and you're consistent.
I think Pittsburgh is capable of beating them.
Me too. I think that's the biggest hurdle remaining.
Only if the Patriots turn the ball over a minimum of three times.
Well, I sent you guys.
That could
email.
Happen too.
No way that offense can score with the Patriots.
I sent you guys an email, so I'm going to be at the game, so it's under my email address, so you can look at if you want to meet up for cold ones, whatever.
Okay.
We got a couple of invitations for coldies, by the way.
Yeah, but we don't stay in Miami, so.
Yeah, we're way out. Way out of Miami.
All right, that's
a nice hotel, though. I like this hotel.
That's John in Palm Bay.
Let me ask you guys a question. Now, I already know what your answer is going to be, Andy, but thinking about it more logically than you, okay? I'm watching the Giants last night, and I was impressed. Now, don't get me wrong. The Falcons are terrible. They're a terrible football team. But this new defensive scheme they've employed is starting to come around with the pressure.
You want to talk about the Colts last year, night and day? What happened to them?
Yeah.
From week one and two to three, four, five. I mean, is it just the opponents?
Well, no, I think they said they were taking some time because they brought the guy in from Philly to run that Philadelphia-type defense, and it's starting to click. Now, they got some offensive weapons. Now, what if the Patriots are 15-0 and the Giants need the win for the division title and, like, the first or second seed? Does that become a worrisome game? Because you know the Patriots might try to win, but are they in it as much as the Giants? Because
right.
You see that, you know, that could probably
and
be a possible.
And that's one of the factors why it's so hard to go 16-0. You know?
Because Bill might want to start pulling guys back a little bit in the third quarter, and that would be an interesting game if it came down that way.
In my opinion, that's the only way they don't go 16-0 is if they don't really care about winning the game.
Yeah,
and I think that they will, and I think they might have to. I think they might need all the wins because I think Indy could be right there with them.
Right, that one loss could be
now,
to the, you know,
it wouldn't get to the last game because obviously if the Patriots are 15-0, then they would have clinched the number one seed. Because they would have obviously beaten Indianapolis and therefore would have no way of falling behind them.
Good point.
Because it's easier to lose than it is to win.
It's true.
Andy Hart once told me that.
Although we're learning that it's easier to get third and longs than third and shorts. Didn't our Gridiron Mind guys tell us that, and now we got the Patriots doing it on the field against the Cowboys? Third and long against them was like first and ten.
You know what's funny? They actually play the team. The Cowboys are the worst team in third down defense, but the Dolphins are second worst. So they'll be playing another team this week that can't get off the field. Good luck.
Let's see. Ray from Springfield says, last Friday a question was asked concerning whether Rodney Harrison would be a Hall of Famer, with Rodney being just a half a sack away from being the only defensive back to record 30-plus interceptions and possibly 30-plus sacks. Do you think you might want to revise your opinion?
No, and I'll take any bets that anyone wants to make. He'll never be in the Hall of Fame. Guaranteed.
I wasn't part of that conversation, but I would agree with Tom. I don't think, right, and we all know my affection for Rodney, so you can insert all your jokes here, but I don't think Rodney's a Hall of Famer.
We can go back and look at the safeties that aren't in the Hall. I mean, it's hard to make it as a safety. Plus, right. It's like we said when we were talking about it, Andy, there's only two places that like him, San Diego and New England. Everywhere else, he's a hated, hated man. So I think that hurts him if he comes close, which I don't think he will anyway.
And I also think that whether it's fair or not, the HGH thing will impact his chances negatively.
Plus, as you start to compare it, I mean, like, let's look at the guy here is Tippett, is the guy most people believe most deserving as a Patriot. He was an NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He had, the most sacks ever over a three-year span or something. He has ridiculous credentials, not just, you know, he's got the most sacks for a safety.
He's a game-changing
that's one
player.
Of the, that, that
he
sacks,
was the best player
thing.
In the game.
Is one of those Patriots things that we were talking about.
Right. And it's one of those things that goes away. It's one of those things that goes away the longer guys like Troy Polamalu and athletic safeties who also happen to play in the era where they count sacks, they just go away. So,
yeah, no, I agree. Doesn't mean that Rodney hasn't been a fine player for a lot of years. He is.
But
I just don't
think
he's a
Hall of Famer. The guy from that defense that goes is Junior Seau. He was a Defensive Player of the Year. He played a long time, put out a lot of big numbers.
That's a guy, and I'm not going to speak for you guys, but I know we all thought he was kind of overrated, but he's kind of changed my opinion since he's got here. Because, hell, if he's this good at 38, 39, I must have been misjudging him all those years.
Plus, he's still doing the stuff that Paul finds annoying, coming up the line of scrimmage, tiptoeing like he's going to jump off sides
in the A-gap there. I hate that. But he's been, I mean, I think he's been better this year than he was last year. And I thought he surprised us all last year.
Yeah.
All right over there?
Oh, I pressed the button. Didn't that
by
make
the
it
way,
go away?
I want to. Can we interrupt you for a second, Freddie?
Sure,
I want to commend you and the Jumbos
on
a huge win over Trinity.
Now I'm thinking undefeated. Patriots, Jumbos, undefeated. A combined 24-0.
You play with
Tufts.
Oh.
You play with Williams this week, though. Wouldn't that be the end of the
down year? Down year for Williams.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Despite what Jonathan Kraft will tell you.
They're only undefeated? They're not unscored upon, so it's a down year?
No, they're not undefeated.
Oh, really?
They lost. I want to say they lost opening day.
In the NESCAC? That's all
you play,
keep
asking
right?
that, but it's only in the NESCAC. You play eight games in the conference, and that's it. they're an academic conference, so we don't go outside the conference.
I think you're the...
Sounds like seven-man football to me.
Right. Calling it an academic conference and having Andy Hart being a member of it, I'm sorry, it just doesn't add up.
I was an academic in high school.
Flag football. All right, let's see. Clinton
says the guy from Emerson.
We didn't even have a gym.
Thank you.
The University of Tampa.
Let's see. Don't know if you got to see Phillips' reaction to the game. I thought maybe the Bills celebration was an isolated incident, but his reaction to the fumble return, TD, celebrating and acting all happy like the game was over, then his reaction after the game, dejected and saying they weren't an elite team. What a total bum. He is the main reason the Cowboys will fall apart. He is too up and down and in a locker room full of over-the-top personalities. His reaction to games and his team will cause a TO implosion.
Well, he's not the main reason. Jerry Jones is the main reason. Jerry Jones is the man who hired him, so put the blame where it belongs.
It's true, but I did notice that about Phillips after the game saying, well, I guess we're not an elite team. Are you saying if you had won that game, you'd be calling yourself an elite team? That's the problem.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
That's the problem.
He doesn't.
You know what, Fred? That's a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what we were talking about. When I talked to Rodney last week and he said, he made that comment, what do you do if you win or lose? How do you respond to that? When you obviously went into that game with this ramification hanging over you that we're playing an elite team and we're trying to see if we're an elite team.
Right.
What happens either way?
Yeah. Right.
Whatever the fallout, either way is not good for a team. Nope.
I know what happens. You take the Vikings plus 10. Strippers, you listen.
Fred, did you get that email I forwarded to you about Paul?
What did I do now?
I don't know. It was an SPFW.
Did I get it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I forwarded.
Did that come today?
Is there an email from Andy Hart?
Well, no.
Was that from today?
Yeah.
I must not have read it.
Why?
What did I do?
You missed it. I got to find it then.
Is it where did you email it?
I forwarded it to webradiopatriots.com.
What's the title?
Fire Perillo, I believe.
Oh,
there might
be
an F-bomb in there, too.
That's all? Did I not predict?
The guy went off on him, but left his phone number in case you want to call.
Did I not predict the Patriots to beat the Cowboys by enough?
Did you see
week?
It, Gary? Did I actually feel
all right?
I'll read this one because you can't be responsible for this. It's from Chuck Elmer.
Hi, Chuck.
His phone number is here.
Hi,
I won't read it on the air.
Don't read his phone number.
No, I'm just saying.
Tread lightly, please.
Ask PFW, Fire Perillo, P-A-R-I-L-L-O, which I always love.
That annoys me. Can you tell me when that came in, just out of curiosity?
Tuesday, October 16th, 2007 at 12:31 p.m.
Oh, okay, it's Wes Welker related then, I'm guessing.
Well, no, there's no specifics. It's just, give me a minute here. F this a-hole. Is that okay? Okay. Pompous, arrogant, diminutive, editorial commentary, and derogatory player assessment of incredible personal effort and accomplishments do not warrant my audience. Please fire this cork soaker. Elmer, and then he leaves his phone number.
I knew it had to be Wes Welker. I was thinking, last week, we were all yelling at Fred for picking. I was like, how could I possibly have drawn the ire of someone that bad? Tinge of racism involved there. Now I understand.
Pompous, arrogant, diminutive, editorial commentary, and derogatory player assessment of incredible personal effort. Wow.
Wow. Just smacks of racism, by the way.
Well, if we're going to talk about racism and Wes Welker, I think we should talk about his comments when he said, looking at Randy Moss, you wouldn't know it, but he's a smart player. I'm not making those up. Those were on SportsCenter 52 times. Did you see those, Fred? Did we already talk about this?
Yeah.
Oh, we were just going to skip past it?
That, by the way.
It's a black mark in the area of Wes Welker.
Another
black mark might be the fact that he can't get the corner even when he gets the corner.
Oh, please.
Oh, you don't want to go there. The next email from
just
Chuck will be
on.
Heart. Tom Casale will be in an office.
Right. Just move on, Fred.
The next one will be about you,
my
friend.
He's just going to go down swinging on Wes
These
Welker.
These guys don't appreciate
Fred, I don't
greatness
know how many,
like I do.
I don't know how many
Shut
different
up.
Ways, Fred, I
you
could tell
fraud.
You that.
I'm with two
you know
frauds.
What? From
fraud Persian, fraud Casale.
I'm going to let Wes Welker do my talking for me, all right?
I don't know how many different ways I could tell you had a great game.
What does that mean?
Let's see. Henry says, I've been following...
Wait, you have it?
What did you learn about him as a receiver?
He's smart, you know? I mean, you look at the guy and you wouldn't think he was, but he's actually a smart guy.
Okay.
An incredibly questionable...
Fred, you okay
comment.
With that?
And Wes sounds so intelligent there.
Right.
I'm
says Spider-Man.
You, That's not a good thing to say.
No, it isn't. Let's see. Henry says, I've been following football for only a few years and can only relate to the modern game. Quite a few times, Tom has brought up the fact that apart from the Colts, Patriots, and a couple of other teams, the standard of the league is poor. So I was wondering if you guys could explain if the overall standard of the league has increased, decreased, or whatever over time. If you could just summarize, please, so some of us simpletons could understand what you're about.
Well, there's no way to prove it.
I think overall,
it's all opinions.
I think the NFL is better than it's ever been in terms of athletic talent. But I think teams
stink.
Teams.
There's only two teams that can win the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
See,
the
I
Colts
think there's
or the Patriots.
A third, but I still think the drop off is huge.
I'll tell you what. You know what you watched this week? There's a team a lot of people think that's up and coming. They have a great defense, blah blah blah. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think I know what's going to happen. You watch what happens Monday night when the Colts get a hold of them, because they don't have enough offense to stay with them. Yeah, if they rush for 400 yards like they did last year, they'll win. But I don't think they're going to, and I think that's where you're going to see the separation right there. Jacksonville's supposed to be a good AFC team. Watch what the Colts do.
Matter of fact, they've been more impressive to me this year than they have in any of the past couple of years, because they've won games that you're like, this could be one of those Jacksonville games where they don't play as well. And they've always played the Colts really, really tough.
So we'll see. If they beat them or play them tough, then I'll be wrong. But I just I have a feeling this year it's two and everybody else.
Fred, I think your comment was good too. The fact that there may be more individual talent in the league than there, because players are getting always physical.
Right.
But we were talking about this, and I think you guys,
it's like
Tom
the
and
NBA.
Andy,
I agree. I think the same way about the NBA.
But you guys were talking about college football players coming into the league, and they may be more gifted, but they're not as skilled. If that makes any sense, they don't have the football
fundamentals
that maybe they did 10. I'm sure that every generation thinks that that's been, going down incrementally over whatever amount of years you want to use as an era. But I think there are some good players in the league. I just don't think there is as many of them in terms of team play and fundamentals and all of that.
Yeah. You look at
I don't think there are a lot of
good
teams.
You look at the great players from 20, 30 years ago and count the amount of college games they have under their belt compared to the college games these great players have now, because they come out as juniors, and they have, 10 games under their – well, a little bit more, maybe 15 games, 20 games at the most under their belt, whereas, 30 years ago they're playing 4 years of college ball. And
no,
I think that makes a difference.
Yeah, they don't have as much experience, but I got to tell you, as a football player, the way those guys get injured – there's no way I would stay in college.
Oh, absolutely not.
I'd get out as fast as I could because my career's not
lasting
very
long. I'm not blaming
them.
I'm just saying it's just a fact.
And the other thing I think is big to me is the coaching. I told Andy on the way home on the plane, I said, you had two teams that could compete with the Patriots talent-wise in the Chargers and Cowboys. And what do? They hire Norv Turner and Wade Phillips to run their football teams.
Right.
And to me, that's a big deal. Because if you gave that one of those teams to Bill Parcells, Marty Schottenheimer, but a good coach, they would be competitive against. I mean, the Cowboys were for a while. But the Chargers, if they were coached well in that week too, I'm sorry, there's no way the Patriots blow them out like that. Just no way.
I just wrote it because this was one of a couple people asked about it and asked PFW, and I think it boils down to coaching and quarterbacks.
Yes.
There's not enough of either to go around, and I said teams that have one or the other win games, are competitive, but never get over the top. Teams that have neither stink and go through the process over and over again. And the few teams like the Patriots and Colts that have both, they happen to win Super Bowl rings.
That's true.
And
you
I think you can't argue with that.
Who's the lone exception to that rule? Because I think that they have neither, but they win a fair amount. It's the team you just mentioned, Jacksonville. I don't think they have a good coach, and I don't think they have a good quarterback, but yet
that's true.
They've won their share of games.
Yeah, but we were saying about Dallas upstairs. They wanted Garrett to be the head coach, but Jones didn't think he was ready. But you know what? Just let him be the head coach.
Right.
If Bum Phillips is the best you can do, just give some guy that we don't know a chance instead of some retread that can't coach.
Let's see. The sergeant.
And let's be factual here, because that's one other thing is people like to say, Bill Belichick was a retread, but it was his second time. Wade Phillips. Is, what did Bill say, five times?
Yeah.
So he's a retread.
Really is third.
But even then, it's a retread.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, if you want to give a guy a second chance, if you truly want to give a guy a second chance, give it to him. But as you start to go down the line, then it's really a retread.
Belichick, and I know this sounds like, PFW propaganda, but this is what we were talking about at the time. even if you were a big-time detractor of his from his days in Cleveland, you'd have to admit he took over a bad team and incrementally made it a little bit better, got it to the point where they were 11-5, and then they moved.
Right.
So you could say that even if you didn't think he did a really good job, you could say, well, it looked like he had them on the right track, and then extenuating circumstances led to his firing. Right. So, yes, it was his second term. The first one couldn't be considered a success, but not maybe the failure of, you know, these
Turner.
Guys.
Right.
Plus, I guess technically it was his fourth job when he got here, right? Hasn't he twice been the head coach of the New York Jets?
Right.
Lucky's one of our favorite listeners.
Lucky.
He says, I have to say that I thoroughly enjoyed the SmackDown the Pats laid on Dallas. It was even better watching the game at Gillette with a bunch of other fans.
And Lori.
I got to meet Lori while I was there. You should have seen the look on her face when I asked if she brought any muffins and then try to explain to people where the question came from. Quick question.
And we all were fired.
Muffins.
As he tried to explain to security when he was being escorted out where the question
your
came.
Your muffins, they're moist. Do you think that Bill held Maroney out of the game as a precaution? He looked pretty pissed off on the sideline. Owen, what do you think is the next move if Morris's injury turns to be serious?
The next move? I'm not sure there is a move.
I think that one of the PUP guys takes his spot on the roster.
Right.
If that's
and
to that.
Well, first of all, Maroney's going to come back.
If it's serious to that extent.
Maroney's going to come back, and then if he gets banged up again, then you see these Heath Evans days where on a random week, Heath Evans gets 15 carries. That's all there is.
Yeah.
All right.
Trading deadline's 4 p.m. today, so they'd have to get it done quickly.
Tom's trying to think of who?
Tatum Bell wanted to be traded from Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would have to be by today.
I do think that was a good move, and we talked about this, Andy. Did you see Tampa Bay picked up Michael Bennett from Kansas City?
No.
It's a good move for them.
Are they activating Priest?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm intrigued by that story. I'm scared to see him come back, but I'm intrigued to see him come back. Because I think there's a chance. Well, I just think there's a chance it's a good story, or there's a chance that you unfortunately watch a guy get seriously injured or paralyzed or something of that nature. Which is why I'm glad I'm not the guy that makes the decision of whether he comes back or not.
Chris writes in, I like hearing Paul get all riled up, so here's some more fodder. He keeps saying that great players are great no matter what team they're on. Fine. But what about Randy Moss for the past two seasons? Was he great with the Raiders? Last question.
He had a 1,000-yard year 2 years ago, so yes.
Last question, is the Pats defense worthy of concern against a great O like Indy's, or was some of the Cowboys' success due to the scheme, such as the nickel D versus Dallas's run game? And, Paul, it's time to switch to decaf.
I
concern?
Don't know. I don't.
When you face the best at something, and the Cowboys have had a pretty good offense, the Colts have a very good offense, you're not just going to shut them down and shut them out all the time.
Yeah, that's why I'm not concerned. And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit last night. The Cowboys ran the ball a little bit, but I think it was one of those things that was a product of the Patriots saying, we're going to focus our efforts elsewhere here, and that's going to open us up a little bit, but so be it. I'm not overly concerned about that, and I'm not overly concerned about this team losing in a shootout because I don't think you're going to beat the Patriots that way. Someone that's going to beat the Patriots is going to have to do something to slow down that offense because I don't think you're going to put up 38 to beat the Patriots the way they did last year in the Dome, the Colts. They're going to need to slow it down a little bit, and someone's going to have to force a couple of turnovers, and otherwise they're going to be looking at the 30-plus points that you've seen every game.
Now, that said, we've talked about the fact that there's been open receivers in the secondary. That's something they could shore up as this season goes on to become a better defense, make more plays. And let's not forget here, there's a guy named Richard Seymour who's, you know, peeking his head around the corner and hoping to get in the game.
That's going
to
help the coverage.
Everybody loves Jarvis Green, except when Bill Belichick stopped starting Jarvis Green because Mike Wright was a better option. So let's be honest, the All-Pro is a better option.
You know who I think is going to be the X-factor in that game is Joseph Addai. I think you guys are right. I don't think the Colts can just – I think they might have to go in with a game plan they had the second half of last year where they run it and throw it. Because if they just throw it, you're playing it in the Patriots' hands, I think.
Yep. Justin
Joseph Addai, just a guy.
Is,
and Kenton Keith.
From Vermont, he says, not 15 minutes in, and we've got Fred and Paul ready to whoop each other's asses again.
That was a good one, Andy.
Tuesday. So as of now, the players are now available to be activated from PUP. I know there are 3 weeks to make a move. Do you think we'll hear something about Seymour in the next few days? How about Brown and Jackson? Not that we need them, and Paul needs a sedative. Andy, you have information on the PUP. Why don't you give it to us? I'm just trying to put you on the spot.
I was going to say, why does he have
I'm not sure you want to put me on the spot.
Just went
I might
to
say
bathroom
something
for
I should.
2 minutes. What happened?
No, my guess, I think Richard Seymour gets activated to practice.
To practice.
And then activated to play.
Not this week.
I'm not sold that it couldn't be.
I think as long as he's healthy, he
why not?
Plays
you think
this
he'd
week.
Be ready to play?
Yeah, if he's healthy. Now, that's, you know, I don't know what the situation is.
Right. I don't know
well,
the specifics.
I think he's healthy, he starts practicing, but I don't think he'd be ready to play in a game.
Why?
Do you? Game shape, that whole thing. Football
Sante
shape.
Sante Samuel, Rodney Harrison.
He hasn't taken a hit in,
but
since last year.
Samuel, to me, would be the same. You know, Harrison, you could say, well, he took part in all of training camp. Samuel didn't. So right. It's the same situation as Samuel when he played right away.
Well,
and let's be honest, Richard Seymour, what he's going to do in a game, get double teamed, a guy diving at his, they're not doing that out on the practice field. So he never gets that until he gets it in a game.
I'd be shocked, but you might be right.
You'd be shocked if he got activated this
week? You were shocked the Patriots beat the Cowboys.
I'd be shocked.
Well, that's true, Andy. That's a good point.
I'd be shocked if he played this week.
I would be mildly surprised, but I think he comes back soon. This week, next in the next.
Not this week.
I think as long as he's healthy, he plays on Sunday.
Hang on a second
over
there,
yes,
fraud.
Yes, Tom.
The Patriots are still undefeated.
Stupid last week, fraud this week.
Is that correct? The Patriots are still undefeated?
That is correct.
Now, you picked them to go 14-2. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you will be picking against them two more times this year?
I'll probably look at a game and say, yeah.
You said no, he'll go. You said 14-2.
They're going to get two losses. That was your whole theory.
He's going to go back and he's going to say, well, I already picked them to lose once. That was one.
That's right. But now I'm wrong. They're going to be 15-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew he would have a semantic argument.
Steven Montana.
So if you pick the Colts and then they win that game. Then you're going 16-0.
No,
you can't pick against them again.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Even if you think the Steelers are a better team.
It won't be the Colts. He'll pick the Steelers.
You guys really are that high on the Steelers, huh?
He's not. It's just
me. I'm high on the Steelers. I am.
Well, that's what I said. You guys.
Oh. Tom's high on the Colts.
I just don't see how they're going to keep up offensively.
Hey, we'll see.
Steven Montana.
Breaking down a December game.
Was I hallucinating or was Rodney Harrison blatantly grabbed from behind, pulled off Marion Barber, and thrown to the ground by a Cowboys offensive lineman? Yes.
Blatant.
You weren't hallucinating. Yeah, he was held.
Did anybody watch? Yeah, definitely hold.
Where was
I
the hold?
It started at the 5, ended up about 3 yards deep in the end zone.
So
he threw him down.
If they wanted to, anywhere in there, they could have called a safety.
I just think it's comical that I go to a Cowboys board and they're complaining about the officials. We got a guy. Listen, the calls were terrible both ways.
That's what
and
I
anyone
think.
Who thinks differently wasn't watching the game.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
I mean, that was evident by the way they called the replay.
The extent
they
to
screwed
which,
it up, got it right, screwed it up, got it right, and screwed it up.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't officiated well. But then again, Tom's favorite son, Mike Carey, was reffing the game.
There's no quarterbacks. There's no coaches. There's no referees.
No one can do.
Is there anybody that can do anything?
There's referees, but Mike Carey in one of them.
Julian's from New Mexico. He says some notes from the game. Wade Phillips looks like he's riding sloppy seconds, a leftover Bill Parcells legacy in Dallas.
On the gin and juice?
Maroney better step it up because I got Barber envy. Brady's accuracy suffered at the beginning from some early pressure from a defense that lost its steam as time went by.
I think that's accurate.
I felt that if the Pats turned it over, it could have given Cowboys some momentum that could have led to a Pats loss, just my opinion. The Pats defense had a hard time stopping the passing game, but the running defense is still in town and held Barber to low rushing yardage. Gostkowski actually is starting to gain a bit of my trust in big games, and it's all about Brady. 43 fantasy points, baby.
Even without the fantasy points at the end part, it is all about Brady.
The rushing yards.
Barber still had like five.
He averaged 6 yards a carry, and Jones averaged 6 yards a carry.
No, Jones averaged like
eight something.
Yeah, 7 point.
They just weren't able to run
it
enough.
You know, they fell behind by 2 touchdowns, and they couldn't, you know, sit there and grind out drives. And they just couldn't. They didn't have them. They felt like they had a score every time they had the ball.
Does anyone else feel that, like, you know how Bill plays teams and he ends up liking guys like Welker and Morris? Does anyone else think that he loves that Barber and if he could ever get him? Like, that just to me seems like a Bill kind of player, someone that doesn't want to go down.
Seems to me like a Jerry Jones kind of move to say, well, we're going to give Julius Jones the long-term contract and
that's about
let Barber go.
And he'll be here.
Let's see. RJ in Vegas. What was up with the Belichick press conference and that reporter? We talked about that. He's a Dallas sports radio guy, and that's kind of his shtick.
Producer.
He's a producer.
Gary and played it. Shtick. It was funny.
Yeah. He says
the best is Next. Next.
You know, like Brady was, he just laughed and goes,
I don't know
what
the hell that means.
Right. And the guy, he doesn't care what he gets.
Right.
He uses next. He uses whatever the hell that means. He's just getting a response from, I guess he's done it to Gretzky, to Phil Jackson.
Jim, talk about the long touchdown pass to Dante Stoller. It looked like you two were doing the jitterbug while the Dallas secondary was doing the Charleston.
Is that right? I don't know what the hell that means, but it was a great route.
Champ.
Tell us about your career, Slugger.
Yeah.
I guess great. Gretzky.
I thought it was Bob Doyle.
The only team that got really mad was Gretzky, I guess.
Really?
And
but what is the point of it, though?
It's just a gimmick.
I mean, I'm not
it's
saying
it's like
that.
You're a Howard Stern guy. It's like a Howard Stern type character
like a
to get
Stern character,
responses. And but I guess it must have been the Coyotes, maybe. Was he the head coach of the Coyotes for a while?
Howard Stern?
No.
Oh. Yeah, you know what's funny about
that? And they threw him out and took his credentials, said, don't ever come back.
You know what's funny is I don't really like that like when Stuttering John used to do those.
I love those.
I never really cared for them.
You love everything Howard Stern.
I usually don't like them, but that one was pretty funny. Maybe it's just because I know Bill.
Both of these were very funny. I found them very funny, but I'm just wondering what you get out of
them.
At the time,
I was uncomfortable.
But the other thing is I love these memes. Oh, how can they let him in there?
I didn't hear one person say that.
Oh, I heard it. I heard one. Oh, my God.
I've heard 1,000 fans say that.
One buffoon went overboard on him, and I'll give you a guess.
M.F.
No.
J.D.
Much bigger buffoon.
J.D.
I don't know who J.D.
Okay.
is.
Okay. So
P.S. He's in a photo.
You have to be kidding me. He took offense to
went
that?
Went off.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's one of them. And another person in the morning did it.
That's a candidate to be doing that.
Yeah.
Only he would be doing it seriously.
Yeah,
not realizing.
I'm against El Duque.
Who was the other guy in the morning?
Jim Donaldson died.
One of the guys in the morning. You know, that's ridiculous. How can they have that in there?
Like, see, I've.
It's like, calm down.
I think it's ridiculous that.
Oh, now you're on calm down. Now it's sports, and you can have a little fun. Don't celebrate victories, though, if you win a division.
If it happened every week, then it would get annoying, but, you know.
That is all, but.
RJ also says, it's funny, everyone talks about Moss causing trouble, but when I watch Brady screw up a pass, sit on the bench and marinate in his own bitchiness, okay, competitiveness, calm down, Fred.
Wow.
I think about what would happen if Moss says the wrong thing, and Brady will be the one to lose it. But they keep sitting next to each other and talking, so maybe I'm wrong. Hope that man love stays alive. Also, if you haven't already discussed what's up with our injuries, are we in trouble?
The injuries are a concern. Mild.
Not to me.
The only people in trouble
say it's
who are
derail
laying,
them.
The only people in trouble are the gamblers who are going to be laying 20 points from now on with the Patriots. Maybe they only win by 18.
Right.
I really have gotten to the point where the only injury that would concern me would be to Brady.
And his bitchiness.
Well, that I don't even understand.
See, I think Moss would be not as big, obviously, but you take Moss out of the equation, all of a sudden Wes Welker becomes that nice little player.
Well, especially if Moss is gone and Watson's already gone.
And you don't have running backs. So
right.
All of a sudden it's
the cumulative effect. You throw
a
Moss, and now it's Welker and Stallworth, and you're
gone. Not concerned.
Not feeling as good anymore.
As long as Brady's there, you know.
Now he thinks Welker's a playmaker, Fred.
No,
he's
I'm
got
saying,
confidence in Welker.
You're really not concerned if Moss gets hurt?
No, not overly.
Well, they're certainly not a 16-0 team.
No,
but I'm talking about concern for the big picture here of being able to win a Super Bowl, and I think they would be able to do that. With or without
I'm with Paul. I mean, if the only guy they can't afford to lose is Brady
right.
and Belichick, you know,
he's probably not a big injury risk now.
Well, you never know. Let's see. Brian,
are you going to take a
back
shot at him or something?
when the authorities come to ask us about this, I'm going to have to say,
there was the one time. Brian was at the game. He says, back to work today after my weekend trip to Dallas. Overall, I'd rate the trip a 9 out of 10. Saturday's weather was awesome for golf, and Saturday night was looking bad after watching the Sox game, but the ladies at the Million Dollar Club took my mind off the game for sure.
That was Sunday morning.
I've got to say the talent in Dallas was quite impressive. Definitely time to open a new stadium. What a blank hole.
Yep.
Looks like an old rundown circus tent from the highway. Anyway, the boys took care of business, and now it's on to Miami. I also thought the Dallas fans were great hosts. Lots of jeers, but mutual respect for the Pats, which was cool. I wonder if Indy fans will be the same in a few weeks.
No.
Well, Indy fans are not like
they're good fans, but they hate the Patriots.
They hate the Patriots.
They're just loud and like.
And
I don't think you'll see
as many jerseys.
They're over the top enthusiastic.
In Patriots jerseys. I think the Colts do a nice job of keeping their crowd in their building.
But I was saying to Fred, Andy, weren't you? We've seen the Patriots travel really well, and in games like that, by the second half or by the end of the game, Patriots fans have taken over the place.
Right.
There was none of that on Sunday. And there was a good amount of Patriots fans there.
More than I expected.
They were overwhelmed, I thought, by just fanatical football fans.
Maybe it's just the dome and it's open, but like I said, the two loudest places I've been were Indy and the one play in the Minnesota on Monday night when they stopped Corey Dillon for an 8-yard loss.
But the Colts did a nice job in the AFC title game, and all I remember is a sea of jerseys. Every person there wears a jersey.
Their fans kept them alive.
So
Andy and I were sitting there saying they had
it's
a
over.
Sack. It's over.
Oh,
shut
AFC
up.
Championship
Sit down,
game. Sit down. What do you guys?
Yeah.
You know, it was like
I felt like the guy in Yankee Stadium.
Stop
believing.
It's over.
I hope it's Flanders.
Eric in Manchester says, "I just got in, so I missed the first hour. May I ask Paul?
No.
Does
yes.
he still think Reggie, Mr. Longest Run of his career, 22 yards Bush, is better than my boy Adrian Peterson?"
I'm just going to say this.
It wasn't really the argument.
I'm just going to say this once about that argument that I was totally.
I bet I can get him to say it twice.
Adrian Peterson is a better runner 8 days a week than Adrian Peterson. I mean, than Reggie Bush. I'm sorry. He's a better runner. What I was saying about Reggie Bush is that I thought he did more things well than Adrian Peterson, and overall, I thought he might have been a better player. Now, there is such a difference between the runners. I'll give up on even that argument. Adrian Peterson, hands down. And we loved Adrian Peterson, so this is.
Anybody who didn't love Adrian Peterson
wasn't
watching.
I don't feel like I'm being a hypocrite. I just thought that Reggie Bush did a lot of different things, whereas Peterson is just a runner.
Yeah, no. There was
but he's so much better of a runner than Reggie Bush that it makes him a better player.
On draft day, we were all laughing because he was still available for the Vikings. I mean, his freshman year, Herschel Walker.
I'm still mad.
That's the only guy.
I'm still mad that he didn't get the Heisman Trophy. Still upset.
Now, was that strippers, Fred?
Yes.
Yeah. Take your boy plus the 10 strippers against the Cowboys. Easy money.
Okay. Let's see. Andrew from Central
Florida.
So we
lose him as an emailer because Tom screws him.
Andrew's from Central Florida. I'm a longtime Pats fan, once got an autograph from Sam the Bam Cunningham. Paul, although I usually appreciate your reality check attitude, I think you have check out of reality on your opinion on Stallworth and Welker. First, Stallworth, wide open. How often has he made a catch without a defender near him? Also, Caldwell never
ran. How many catches he have?
Also, Caldwell never ran with his after-the-catch power and intensity. Just Moss. Second, Welker. This kid has great hands, and his runs after the catch have impressed non-Patriot fans. Great cuts and acceleration. In the first few games, Moss wasn't being doubled, and Welker still played very, very well. Add in Welker's 26.5 average on kick returns and 11.6 on punt returns, ninth in the league. What you have is a very good, consistent, multi-talented player, a Patriot. The team is indeed a machine, but take away Brady's protection and it sputters. Take away some of the other above-average talent, and the team starts to just win versus blowing opponents off the field. Brady and Moss, I think you're kidding yourself.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you guys feel that way. That's how I feel. I think if you took Brady out of the equation, those players wouldn't be anywhere near where
That's true. But that's
And I think that the other guys have been wide open. That 69-yard touchdown pass, you're trying to tell me that Dante Stallworth was covered?
Let's see.
Wide open.
Let's see. Chelsea says, what do you think about the Cowboy fans complaining about the last touchdown for the Patriots?
I think it's garbage.
Sour grapes.
Yeah. Wade Phillips called a timeout, okay? Now, even if he didn't, but he called a timeout, which means he's still playing. It wasn't like he was waving the white flag, blah, 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 and all that. He called a meaningless timeout down 21 points. So if you're going to do that, then you get what you deserve. And you know what? If you're going to kick a field goal down 14, you get what you deserve. Screw him.
Screw the bum.
This is very personal to Tom.
That one was because I just don't like him. I don't like the man. I don't have it.
I just think that was it running up the score? Yes. So what? Stop him. Do something. Complaining about running up the score is just such loser mentality.
It really is. I mean, stop him.
Stop him. He's right.
But
Fred would be bitching if the Patriots were on the other end of that.
I would never do that.
Yes, you would.
Patriots fans still bring up the
two-point conversion
that the Colts went
for.
So,
Patriot fans.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
They went for two to go up 21, you know, when they whooped the crap out of them.
Am I a Patriots fan?
Yes.
I'm not complaining about it.
No, I'm saying Patriots fans complain. They cried like little girls. Brady didn't have his press conference.
You did at the time.
Belichick was throwing flags all over the place. They were doing that same stuff.
I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, Fred, actually you didn't because you said, they're trying to.
I think he did.
I thought he said at the game, they're trying to go up by 21.
Yeah, so?
They're going for two?
I never said that.
There's no way I can prove this, but I'll guarantee that's the first thing.
And I complained that they were running up the score.
And then Bill. No, the inference was they're going for two. I can't. Why are they going for two? Yeah, I don't think you ever said they're running up the score verbatim, but that was your inference.
Well, I would never complain.
And obviously,
about that.
The Patriots were upset about it because Bill Belichick pulled a temper tantrum, throwing flags on the field,
and Brady
stopping the game for 20 minutes. Brady never even went out to talk to the media after the game.
Well, something was going on. It was more to it than that.
Yeah, they were sulking.
Yeah, they were sulking.
I just want to, Fred. I just want to say one thing. This is fine now, but if Tom Brady ever goes down, I want Patriots fans to know you're going to have to take it on the chin because people are going to be doing the exact same thing. So don't cry when it happens to you.
No, Wes Welker will.
Oh, the Patriots have a
my quarterback.
Patriots have a target on their shirt. I mean, if there's a an opening, the teams are going to go in for the kill.
Yeah,
you know. That's the way it is when you're on top.
I know.
But don't complain.
Don't complain, right.
Okay.
Phil from Austin, watching the Cowboys' offensive line reminded me of the Broncos game last year. Just like Denver, it seems like the Dallas offensive linemen hold on every play and justify the officials to throw a flag on every down.
Yeah, because so, they were the ones bitching, not Rodney Harrison.
It's almost like the NBA where the referees get used to certain player style and never call them for traveling, 3 seconds charging, etc. Two questions. Where do you see Troy Brown fitting in on this team, assuming he makes it off PUP, and who's going to cover Dallas Clark?
Not Rodney Harrison. He'll be complaining to the officials about how he got held and blah, blah, blah. He sucks. There, I said it. I said what everybody was thinking.
Who are you?
I'm not sold that he sucks. I want to see if this is a trend in that direction.
He had a bad game. He was fine against Cleveland. As long as they, 28 of the teams are the caliber of Cleveland, so he's fine.
I
want to
see a
teams.
Trend here because I thought he stunk in practice in the preseason. I thought he couldn't come back. Then Tennessee, he looked like a young man again. He was flying all over the field, knocking passes away deep, running through young. Now I think this guy that I saw last week looked more like the guy I saw in practice.
See that tight coverage on that play?
So maybe he's just going to be an inconsistent older player.
I'm just saying, don't complain about complaining to the referees because no one did that.
Well, if you're
going to
talk about
Harrison's
antics on the field,
that's different.
He is a hateable player, and I hate him on the field. Yeah. You just can't like him. I don't see how anybody could.
It's annoying to watch
He's a total. He turned into a total moron on the field.
He's complaining on every play. He's jumping on piles after every other play. But he's been a terrific player for the Patriots. There's no question.
And I'm wondering if it's part of that. He's always been a terrific player, and now he's got guys running by him, and he doesn't know how to react.
Tom, you brought up a couple of conversations or a couple points that your dad made when you were talking to him.
Dad's kind of a character on this show now, even though he's never been here.
Absolutely, but just it kind of makes you think when you're talking about the game with someone else, and all of a sudden
dad
you might
would
get
like those.
My brother I was talking to last night, and he was saying it's almost like he played the game, Rodney talking about, like he's like really wounded by the whole substance abuse suspension, and it's almost like he can't get it back. It's like he feels like his reputation was hurt, and that he looked like something was bothering him the whole game. Like I don't want to say his heart wasn't in it, but he didn't look like himself. And it's almost like maybe he just feels like, I can't believe I did this to myself, and he's feeling sorry for himself, I think was the words my brother used.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's why he didn't play well, because he didn't. I mean, Tom's right about that. He didn't play well Sunday.
But I will say that I think right now, from what I've seen from this defense, the worst matchup they'll have all year is Dallas Clark, because I think he can really hurt them in the middle of the field.
Yep. Let's see. Eric from Manchester also says ESPN First Take had a senior writer for SI saying he had breaking news. GMs from around the league think the Pats are only one injury away from not going 16-0. Stop the presses. You mean if Brady goes down, we don't go 16-0 with Castle? Add this to the stupid media people file.
Wait a minute. They're one injury away from not going 16-0?
Meaning Brady.
Well, I don't know if that's – I don't know. I mean, I'm only
– No, that's what it is. They're one,
no,
the
Fred
one
was,
injury
Fred
away.
Was one of the people on the panel, so it's Welker.
No, that's what the one injury means, Fred, if Brady gets hurt.
Why can't you just laugh? I'm just making a joke.
But it's also just a dumb comment, I think. But
Yeah.
Yeah, how many injuries are the Colts away?
Right. I mean, Andy in Vermont, I wonder if Fred was thinking, see, I told you – when the Cowboys were leading. But yet again, the Patriots overwhelmed their opponent.
No, that's not what he was thinking. Oh, crap, it didn't work.
Dallas moved the ball some, but they did not put up huge yards. So they got 2 TDs and 2 field goals on offense. And now there must be some weaknesses in the Patriots' defense. But I think it was the case of the Cowboys' offense being a good offense, more so than the Pats' D. I think the defense did a pretty good job. And about T.O., I thought he was maturing. He had been pretty quiet then with that little message to the media in his postgame quote, if they get to Arizona, we'll see them again. And that is just locker room bulletin board material for every team on their schedule. And that five wins has gone to T.O.'s head. And that Dallas defense has lots of holes. Exploited by Tom Brady in the new high-octane, explosive Patriots offense. Go Patriots. Come on, Red Sox. Sorry I had to throw that in there. Question.
Well, Fred's the only one mad about that.
Fred, will Fred ever pick against the Pats again?
Yes, no. one more time.
Yes, one more time.
He has to. So is it the Colts, the Steelers? Who are you picking?
When I feel that they have a chance, when I think they're going to lose, that's when I'll pick them.
But you have to pick against them.
I don't have to. If I don't think they're going to lose, I won't pick them.
You didn't think they were going to lose
I
Sunday.
Thought they
you
were.
You broke that rule last Sunday.
I thought they were going to lose.
No, you didn't.
As the week went on, I didn't, but I stuck with it. I stuck with it. I gave you guys a win. Let's see. Matt says, Mini Gary's antics crack me up. I almost wet myself. That was...
What did Mini Gary do?
That was from Friday.
Oh.
I says...
Absolutely nothing. He was terrible.
Let's see. What's up, Peckerwood boy bitches? This is Matt from Oregon.
By the way, we have to tell our listeners that the word Peckerwood was in Stand By Me on the bus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Greetings
from a New Englander transplanted in San Francisco. I listen to you guys religiously while I'm out here for grad school. Always wanted to write in and tell you how funny you dudes are, and in all honesty, see if I could hear my email read on the radio.
Well, you did. We'll read it more often if you buy us lunch.
Just a shout-out to you guys and a shout-out to how disgustingly nasty the Pats are this year. That's slang for ridiculously good. Also, love that we're finally seeing that Brady can do what
how
Brady can do
we?
With
we
an arsenal that Manning, the better quarterback since he won his Super Bowl compared to Brady's three, according to all the experts on TV, always had. This year's team gets me Randy.
Nah. So. That's the headline I wanted to go with when they traded for him. Pats get Randy. Fred declined it.
Trivia. Well, we all know that Troy Brown and Randy Moss are from Marshall. However, there are actually three starters from that school. Can you name the third? Yeah, Chad Pennington.
Chad Pennington.
It's easy.
I think he meant on the Patriots.
Oh, on the Patriots?
And would that be the, what's the?
Hanson?
Hanson.
Hanson.
Oh, yeah.
He's not really a starter.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So that was like all over the place. And he stinks.
Louis says, I noticed that the yardage lines in Dallas are not straight, as if the middle of the field was a little higher than the sidelines. That is true.
It's called a crown in a field.
All fields have crowns.
They have a very big crown in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. You sure about that, or are you just saying it?
No,
they have a huge crown.
I've been down
there.
Dan from Dallas.
I've been down there, he says.
I've been down in the field. Dan from Dallas says, what places did you guys end up eating while in Dallas?
Yeah, we don't want to tell you. You'll be mad at us probably.
No, we went to the Buffalo Wild Wings.
We went to a chain where there's 850 of them in the country.
Had a great time.
It was good, though.
It was much better than the one in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh, way nicer.
Really?
And Fred was all over some hot young girls.
In his defense, he wasn't inviting any of them over to sit with us.
True.
As other people on our travel party were.
John in L.A. says, Dear Fred, I like standing up at a football game. It's fun. P.S. Hi to Trenchcoat Mafia Boy. Keep on kicking, buddy. By the way, checked out Eric's website. His stuff is actually really good. I'm impressed. Seriously, now cheer up, Columbine. It's like you're glum on the adventures of Gulliver.
I think his stuff is crap.
I saw it for $175 in the magazine.
I'm going to get Will a light bright so he can do the same thing.
Well, John Rook is here.
Okay. Hi, Fred.
How you doing, John?
Excellent.
Did you? Where did you watch the game?
Actually, I watched the game
in his basement.
No, actually, in my my family room. Yeah.
And were you as impressed as we were?
Totally, and completely.
Yeah.
In fact, good barometer here is actually my 12-year-old because Austin is
I thought it was Tom's dad.
He's a typical. Exactly. He's a typical New England fan. You know, when things start going bad, it's like, I'm out of here. I got to turn
it
off.
Right.
Chris Ferreira, our webmaster.
That or Fred.
Not gonna put up with that anymore. And so he turns around, and I said, you just got to calm down. I said, even when they got down in the second half, I said, they're just going to flip on a switch.
Right.
I just sensed it, and that's exactly what they did.
You had the impression that that drive was going to tell you the game.
That's right.
I just shut off my mic by accident. If they could stop him on that drive, Dallas, you felt like maybe they could pull the upset.
They could pull an upset.
And when they didn't, you just felt the game was over.
They took the lead again. I said, it's over. You know, and it was.
That
is as impressive a football team as I think I've seen
best
maybe ever.
I think it's the best team I've ever seen.
Honestly, I can't recall any. And I've been following the NFL since a wee lad. But, I mean, I go back to the, you know, Green Bay Packers of the 60s and, you know, consciously remember these teams. I don't remember a team that had all the pieces to the puzzle like this one does.
The only thing I'll say about that, and I'm obviously the worst person to ask this because Fred makes fun of me because I never saw anything before 95. But all the other teams that are in the past, you know their weaknesses because you saw them eventually
That's
come
correct.
Out. You saw them fall apart, their flaws,
sure,
whatever
sure.
it was.
Right.
This one, we're still in the honeymoon phase where, wow, they can run, they can throw, they can play defense, their coach is great, everything's great. Sooner or later, we're going to see something as a weakness.
And I still think it's hard because we don't know how they would go up against like the Steelers or the
right.
Bears with those fierce four-man fronts.
Oh, it's impossible to do it. That's
yeah.
why it's strictly an opinion.
But I'm just saying, and the other issue
they
is
they stopped a lot of good offense. I mean,
yeah,
those Steelers team shut down a lot
it's
of
like
good
trying
offense.
To figure out Muhammad Ali versus Joe Louis. You just don't
and I also yeah. thought that there was more competition for those teams at the top back in the day.
Probably.
You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers had
none now.
Miami and Oakland and Dallas. And
yeah, they had,
you know,
those
there,
teams
there were
had
several,
foils.
There were several good teams to play against, whereas
That's
I
right.
really think we're talking about two teams. Andy and Fred think three with Pittsburgh thrown in there. I don't really think these other teams
well,
can be
I'm
on
I'm not
the field.
Convinced yet about Pittsburgh. I think Indianapolis yeah. is the only one right now that I can see that even comes close to holding the candle to the Patriots.
All right. Well, there's a lot of emails that we left
in the tiller?
In the tiller for you.
Okay, we'll get to them.
All right.
Home banks, too.
So coming up is Patriots Playbook with John Rook. We will be here tomorrow, Wednesday at noon. See you then.